Yemeni number one.
What's up, you silly motherfucking bitches? Mike Eshak in the house. I gotta fucking fix this camera just a little bit. Yeah, there you go. I told my editor that I was gonna get the shots right. I'm over here with my good friend, Neil Rubenstein.
Yo, I'm over here now.
He looks like a beefy, burly motherfucker that will fuck you up, but then when you hear his voice...
You guys got beef? Hey, break it up, guys. Yo, you guys are fucking with the wrong dude.
You have no idea what I'm capable of. How you doing, brother?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm good, bro. We were talking about a lot of stuff before we started, man.
Yeah, man. We're like a wealth of...
misery.
Nah. There was some pause. It's just funny because like... I think two things. Is like, one, we're catching up as bros. I haven't seen you in a couple of months. And
yeah, it's been a few. Last time I saw you was at that gig in Michigan.
Oh shit!
Was it Dexter, Michigan?
Yeah, so that's that's like almost a full year ago.
Was that?
We usually see each other.
It was around the summertime, I think.
Yeah, so six months ago. Yeah. I feel like we usually run into each other on a pretty steady. Because even if we're not doing something together, it's like I was in Arizona when you were in Arizona.
Sure.
Michigan when you were in Michigan.
Sure.
So. So there's like the part catching up, and there's also like we're both like natural entertainers.
Yeah.
So we're like shooting jokes and stuff. You're like, save it for the pod. We have too much stuff for the pod now. You gotta save it for three pods.
That's the thing, bro. I always have to do that during the podcast where I gotta be like, I gotta tell people, I gotta set it up in a way where it'd be nice if I could set it up where I had a producer that would meet the guest. And then whatever, and then we only actually see each other when the fucking shit starts rolling. Because when we first see each other for a long time, that's when like an interesting thing comes off. We were talking about all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, but I feel like that. Yeah, I see both ways for sure. Yeah. That would be a cool way to be like, oh, what's up? We'll catch up, and we'll catch up on the microphone.
Sure.
But there's also like something comes up in that where we're like, oh, that's what I want to talk about. I didn't realize, but we should be talking about Bader Meinhof. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, let's talk about that.
Who knew that that was something that we were?
I think that's a good thing. Let's talk about Bader Meinhof, which I didn't even know that's what it was called because it was two German scientists that came up with the idea. The reason why we were talking about this was,
so you were applying it to just positive thinking.
Well, yeah, because like I know, like you do have a very like a thing that a lot of comics do where we do this modest thing and then we cut ourselves down.
Yeah.
Right. Or like if things don't go our way, we'll just be like, that's how it goes. You know, like, that's just how my life is. Of course that's how it is, you know,
but that's, yeah, no, you're right.
And then I was trying to tell you about how, like, it'd be great. Like if we could learn how to get that chatter out of our freaking head, because then I told you about this thing that I read in The Think and Grow Rich, where he talks about our subconscious mind being able to, you get to feed it food, right? You could either feed it negativity or you could feed it positivity. And the idea in the book was, he used the example of a criminal. He's like, when somebody who's not a criminal has to do crime, let's say they got desperate, the economy crashes, the Great Depression happens, they got a baby to feed, then one thing leads to another, they end up doing a crime to make money. At first, when they do that crime, they don't like it.
Right.
Right. Their subconscious mind is like, yo, this is wrong. Don't do this. What the hell is this? Right. Right. But because of out of necessity, they have to do it again and again and again. And what he says is that now you're feeding your brain that type of thinking, that your brain is a pattern recognition software. And what it ends up doing from now on is automatically now, because you've been feeding it, so now you as a criminal, before you never saw opportunities for crime, but because you've done it so many times, now your brain's pattern is like, yo, there's an opportunity here. And then I use the other example of when somebody drives one of your friends buys a car that you've never seen before, and then now all of a sudden you see it everywhere on the road.
Yeah. And so that's the Bader Meinhof thing is, or Bader Meinhof is that pattern recognition. It's like, if I've never seen a Chrysler in LA before, and then I see a Chrysler,
or a Saturn. You said it's Saturn.
I use Saturn as the example. Whatever.
That's a good example.
And then I see the Saturn, and then like I just start seeing Saturns all over the place, because it's like, oh, I've been seeing them. They've been there. I just didn't have a word for it.
But not only that, your brain wasn't fed that information for it to see the patterns.
So did you ever hear the theory? I don't know if this is like a proven thing or if this is just like a theory, like critical thinking exercise. Okay. That like before they had words for blue versus red, let's say.
Okay.
Like the sky was wine, they would say, right?
Okay.
Because the color of wine. But it's like, oh, they're saying like it's a clear sky. Cause like white wine is clear.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Or like the ocean was a whatever, the ocean.
So instead of calling it blue, they're like, look, it's the color of the ocean.
Right. So, yeah, or like but they would use like weird, they would like, the sea is in the sky.
We
used today.
Other ways to explain something that we haven't given a name to yet.
Right. So then in the future, when we interpret those texts, we have words for the things. So to us, the sea is in the sky today. We're like, well, what's that mean? And we have to break it down.
Is it raining? Like,
but they just meant like, oh, it's blue. It's blue, right, and it's blue, right, or whatever.
Right.
For instance.
Sure.
So that, I think, is like also part of that same recognition thing, where it's like, I didn't have a word for the car, a Saturn. So it was just in the other category. And then once I was introduced the word Saturn, now I see what Saturn is. Saturn is this thing.
Oh.
Does that make sense?
So to you, you're saying that it's not only a visual pattern.
It's learned.
But it's all kinds of pattern, whether it's linguistic or whether it's emotional.
But I think but it's tied together.
Sure. Tied together to the idea of that pattern recognition thing that we have in our brain, and that you can feed it a pattern.
Right. So that's what you're saying with the think and be rich, think and grow rich.
In one of the chapters, auto suggestion.
What's it called?
Think and grow rich by Napoleon Hill.
So,
and then the auto suggestion thing was great, because he literally says you should write down what you want for your life and be in great detail what it is that you want to achieve.
Very manifesting.
Right? Yeah. Right? No, but I mean, this is the thing.
Not a manifesto, but manifesting.
The secret is a dumbed down version.
Yeah.
So Think and Grow Rich came out first in the early 1900s.
Oh, really?
And it's a very, very, it's a very good book, because it's kind of like, and The Secret took all the easy parts out of that.
Yeah.
In this book, it tells you to work really hard. So like one of the things that he suggested was write down in clear detail what it is that you want to achieve and how you want to achieve it and the type of life that you want to live, right? Then he said every morning when you wake up, read that.
So now you're going to recognize those patterns. And then
every night before going to bed, read that. So, and he goes, keep doing that. And he goes, what you end up doing is now you're feeding these affirmations to your subconscious mind, auto-suggesting it to think in a certain way. And it's not that, oh, because you're saying it, the secret, the universe gives it to you. What he's saying, it's more scientific. He's like, no, you're feeding your brain a specific type of nutrient. And what ends up happening is now on its own, it starts seeing opportunities for you. So for example, if you weren't in this mindset of, I want to be this type of comedian with this type of audience, whatever it is, right? If you didn't feed your brain that, then maybe the person that you would have met at the improv last night, who probably would have helped you take to the next step, you probably didn't even notice it. Does that make sense?
100%. Because I believe in
because
that.
Because your brain is not in that.
Yeah.
In that
groove. I believe in that 100%. Like we were out last night. We went to Pocock Brewery. Jeff Frame and John Wynn have a weekly show.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I've done that show before. Yes.
Fun show. Great show. Yeah. Thanks, Jeff.
At a pizza shop, right?
Yeah. Pizza brewery. Yeah. It's very cool. Me and two comic buddies from here, Justin Herman. Sure. Who you know.
Yes.
And this kid, Chris Wakis.
I don't know who that is.
New guy I just met.
Cool.
Very cool guy. But Justin's my boy. And we went out to the brewery, and then it was like, hey, let's go by the store.
Yeah,
let's just say hi. I know Saul's
Chris
working.
Riggins. Chris Riggins hit me up and said that he just talked to him.
Right, so I met Chris last night for the first time.
Great guy.
Saul I know works there. Frank Castillo I know works there.
Sure.
Josh Martin works there. I'm like, oh, let's pop by. Let's see who's there. I know Colm Turrell was in town. Karen Fian's in town. I'm like, oh, let's see who's.
I should have came by last night.
So you should have. It was fun. It was
I was really busy doing other shit, setting this up.
But it was just like one of those things where it was like, we easily could have just like, oh, let's just hit a diner and go home. But we didn't. We were like, no, let's take the hour or two. Let's go do what comics do. Like, if, you know what I mean? Like, Jermar Neighbors is in town, he's going to stop by.
Right.
Whether he's on the show or not.
Right.
If Sebastian Maniscalco's in town, he's going to drop by.
Sure.
So it's like, all right, well, I want to be as big as those guys, right?
Right.
So then let me go do what they're fucking doing.
Rub shoulders.
But patterns.
Pattern.
Do, like, I want to do what they're doing.
Exactly.
They go home and work on their bits. They go home and edit their material. They they work hard.
They
have to do what they're doing. I want to do that. I got to do that.
And you see some of these guys, they're already big. They're already working, right?
And they're getting booked
every time. And then they still do the hang. They'll still show their face.
Still show face.
I know some comedians that are hustling it and making shit happen for them. And I know they're probably working even harder than I am.
But they're not out.
And then there's nights where I just go to hang on a night that I'm not doing a show.
Uh-huh.
And I know they just did two shows and they're still coming to hang.
Yeah. That's just Yeah. So, well, then you get out of hustle. That makes you want to work
harder.
They're
in that pattern, right?
Right. So, whatever, you get the pet, like, you have to do the work to be the thing.
You have to do the work for the thing.
I don't want to get outworked.
You also have to feed yourself the right information, bro. So, like, to me, like, that was like, for example, if anybody doesn't know, the apocalypse is upon us because it's been raining nonstop in LA. As soon as this guy comes and visits.
That's real life. That's a real story.
So he was like, oh, well, that's just my life. And then that's what got me into idea of, like, yo, I understand, I do that too, but I think sometimes it's good for us to, like, work that out of us.
No, this is, I lead a life of mild inconvenience. That's what I say. So this
show is called Public Yemeni, and I like to tease out what other people are a public enemy of, meaning that what is it that you are about or something that you stand for that is either an enemy in your own life, or that you, because you think that way, you are now an enemy of the public. And what are you a public enemy of?
I mean, just like ease and convenience, I think. Because everyone has their, like, little hacks and stuff. And it's like, dude, it won't work for me. I promise you, it won't work for me. And it's like, with everything, like, you know, everyone's like, and it goes both ways. So it'll go like, here, it's like, it never rains in L.A., okay, well, when I get there, it'll be raining. Like, don't worry. And it's like, oh, well, I only booked outdoor shows. Well, no, don't worry. It never rains. There's outdoor shows because we always can do outdoor shows. But now it's like, I'm here, and it's like, oh, we got to cancel your outdoor shows.
And also the Southwest thing.
Oh, yeah. So I never flew Southwest. And every time I fly, there's an issue. So then finally, my buddy Mikey is like, no, just fly Southwest.
Every time you fly with other airlines, it's an issue. And then somebody tells you, come on, it's time for you to finally fly Southwest.
And so I finally book a trip with Southwest.
And if anybody knows the news, Southwest is falling apart.
Yeah. And it was like, oh, just in time. Like, oh, that's my fault.
Come on, man.
But the other way, it's the same the other way, too, because it is just mild inconvenience. Like, if there's a natural disaster somewhere, like, I lived on Long Island during Hurricane Sandy, which, like, destroyed Long Island for a week.
Oh, wow.
Like, no one could go in and out, no power, nothing for a week. I was in Vegas for work that week.
This was like 2013, right?
12 or 13, yeah. So I was in Vegas. I got to Vegas, flew out there fine. My flight back got canceled because of Sandy. And then I was just stuck in Vegas for like a week. And like, stuck in Vegas isn't...
Well, it's expensive, you know what I mean? If you're not staying with someone.
Well, I was there because of work. So work paid for most of it. Like, work paid for the hotel and stuff.
Okay, yeah.
But the point is that, like, I was going to be stuck somewhere. And I could either be home where a natural disaster just hit.
Sure.
Or I'm stuck in Vegas. Like, oh, God forbid.
God forbid.
Right. It's an inconvenience, for sure.
It's great.
But it is a mild inconvenience.
Mild inconvenience. Yeah, especially if you're coming from a place like New York where the weather's always shitty, bro.
Where it's literally destroyed.
It's destroyed. Yeah. Right.
So that's what I'm talking about. It's like, I just lead a life of mild inconvenience. Like, it's like, the plane could have crashed. Like, there could have been a real problem. You know what I mean? Instead, it was just like, no, you're going to be late.
I'm like, so pissed that, like, okay, how many days, how long did you get here? Yesterday?
I got here Monday, and it was raining Monday.
Fuck, you got here Monday already.
Yeah.
And it was been raining. I think the sun came out yesterday, though.
For a little while.
Which was nice.
I mean, for like a minute. Yeah.
Which is weird, because that never happens here. Fuck, man. That makes me so mad. How many more days you got here?
Just till the rain stops.
What's that?
Just till the rain stops.
Oh, really?
And then I'm out. Yeah, yeah. Once the rain stops, I gotta go. I'm here till...
And when is that? 8 days?
I'm here Sunday morning. I leave.
All right, man. I look forward to
Sunday morning. I go to San Diego. So San Diego will probably be a shitstorm.
So you're not staying in San Diego. You're just staying here.
I'm staying here. Yeah. And then I'm just going to do one show at the Madhouse.
Did you try reaching out to do any spots at the Comedy Store?
In La Jolla?
No.
The one here?
Yeah.
No.
You didn't try to reach out to see if you can get on Potluck or whatever?
I didn't know I'd be here Monday.
No.
I knew I'd be on the West Coast Monday, and I don't like to book the day I... Just in case.
Yeah.
Especially like at the, you know, the store. Like, I don't know.
You want to talk about mild inconvenience, man? I got a story about my mom. Kind of like the same thing with the flight, bro. And, bro, this is like one of those things where it could have been really bad. Mm-hmm. So I think it was like 2006, 2007. I can't remember when exactly. But my mom went with her friend to Lebanon, to visit Lebanon. Right. And then it brought my sister. So it was kind of like a big group thing. They're her family. And then my mom and my sister. And they're going to be there for like a month or 2 months. Right. Something like that during the summer. My sister was going to college at the time and she had a summer break. Right. So she gets out there. They're not even there like maybe 2 weeks. Right. They're supposed to stay there for another 2-3 weeks. Right. My mom's already been planning out this vacation. My mom calls me. Michael, your sister is being difficult. I'm like, what is it? She wants to go home now. She says she wants to start college earlier. She doesn't want to take her whole summer break. And I'm like, okay, so what's the problem? She's going to ruin my vacation. So my thing is like, well, why not just let my sister come home and you can still stay out there? My mom has got this weird Arab anxiety mother type attachment to her kids. You know what I mean? No, I can't do that. If she go home, I have to go home with her. So my mom is pissed. I talked to my sister. I'm like, come on, just stay there. You don't have to go to college. And she's like, Mike, you know, it's great. She goes, I can't even enjoy this vacation because all I could think about is graduating early. So my sister says, fuck it. I'm going home. My mom is pissed. Changes her fucking flight to fly out with my sister. As soon as they reach the air, Israel starts bombing the shit out of Lebanon.
Oh, shit.
And the family that stayed over there almost didn't make it out.
Dude, that's
the
insane.
Father had to bribe a Syrian bus driver to get him into this bus that they were helping to carry people over the border into Syria, right? How lucky is he? The first bus he went to, he tried to get out so bad, and the bombs were happening everywhere. He couldn't make that bus. It was too full. The guys, you're going to have to wait for the next one. The next one's like maybe 3-4 hours later, right? So they're fucking waiting over here for this next bus to come. They find out the bus that they were supposed to be on got hit by a missile. And all I could think of is my sister probably saved their lives, man. I mean, what the fuck? Like, to me, it's like, it's almost like, it's like, is there a God? Like, what type of like timing is that shit, man? It was fascinating, bro.
That's a crazy story.
Because in one second, I'm like, man, you're ruining mom's vacation. And then the next second, I'm like, thank you for flying here on that day.
But the is there a God statement at the end of it cracks me up, because it's like, you think the people in the bus think there's a God?
No, I know that. But hold on,
you know
a second.
What I'm saying? It's like,
but hold on a second.
It's like, if there's a God, like,
I know what you're saying.
It's like, well, that's cool that you saved your family, but like, yeah, fuck those people.
All those people drink. That's the problem. My mom doesn't drink.
Yeah.
That's what it was. God's
they're all eating bacon.
They're all eating bacon. My mom's never tried it ever. No. The thing with my mom is, I don't know if you know, like, people like this. My mom is one of those women who, or one of those people that, when they pray so hard, Satan gets to go to heaven. Do you know what I mean? She prays everyone into heaven. My mom's constantly praying, and I'm going to tell you right now, she's cheated death.
Because of her praying.
Brother, hold on a second. My mom is cheated death over 10 times. I'm talking about, you should have been dead. But, and then there's a part of me, it's like, is it her faith? I mean, because she's always praying. always showing gratitude to the universe and to God and always being happy for what she has. And he kind of crazy. She had her own car run her over.
What?
She was running late one time. She got in her car. She started it, right? Then she realized she left something in the house. She left the car running. She went out. She goes to the side door. She realized the key is in her purse in the car. The car's running. She goes back to the car. She opens the door while the car's running.
Actually hits it into gear.
She goes, hits it into gear, and the car pulls her under.
Oh, Jesus.
And the tires run over her body. When she goes to the hospital, the tire marks, the fucking doctor goes, I want to show you these tire marks. This is what the doctor said. He goes, do you know how lucky she is? He goes, the way the tires went over her body, it went in such a way where it didn't crack any bone and it avoided all the fatal organs. All the fucking important organs. What the fuck, dude? I have stories on top of stories on top of stories. And I'm not somebody who really believes in like that shit.
Yeah.
But then my mom is one of those people that make me go, what are you doing to like cheat death so many times? Even with this whole like leaving Israel at the right time.
So then do you think you have like kind of like a get out of jail free card? Like you can do whatever you want?
Oh, I'm fucked.
No. I'm saying like, do you think you can do whatever you want and then like your mom's faith and like her praying for you?
That's what I have had this thought, and Neil, I'm not going to lie, I've had this thought where I was like, if I want to make anything happen in my life, I got to do it while my mom's here praying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because my mom is just like, it's crazy. She's almost too blind with the faith. But then when I start seeing these moments like this,
yeah,
and one after another, after another, after another, dude, it's kind of like a miracle. You see my mom and it's a miracle. And then it makes me almost go, ah, fuck, there is a hell and I'm going to burn for eternity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a hard time with the concept of hell because Satan wants you to do fucked up things, and then you do the fucked up things, and then your reward is to like be punished by Satan. No, Satan's the guy who makes you do fucked up things.
You know what the thought I've had? The thought that I've had is, do you notice how like human beings are always really good at bending the truth and getting like the populace to believe in lies?
Yeah.
It happens all the time. Yeah. You've seen it during this whole pandemic, how easy we've realized the news was fake. People are fucking practically robots and they're just listening to whatever's fucking given to them, yeah. Whatever. You know what I think really happened? And this is just a thought.
Okay.
This is not real. This is just a thought.
Okay.
Satan is really God and God is really Satan. I think down the road someone has been able to flip the script on us.
So
like Satan in Catholicism is like, don't touch your dick. I mean, God says, like, don't touch your dick, you'll go to hell.
Satan's like, touch your dick.
Don't have to touch your dick. Have a good time, bro.
And then come on.
And you're not going to go to hell. You're
hang out with us.
I made that for you. I want you to enjoy yourself.
Nobody's like, come hang out with us down in hell.
Yeah, but he's not in hell.
You think he's not in hell?
I think that there's been a thought to me where I was.
Think this is hell.
No, the thought to me is like, if religion is real, right? And if I start like paying attention to like all that stuff, it almost sounds to me like the cool one is Satan.
Well, Satan is the cool one.
Satan's the one's like, enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
Have sex.
Like,
have a good time.
Why would you?
And then like God is the one that's just like, yo, man, I created these genitals. It feels really good to touch it. Don't do it.
Yeah, why would
but
you?
But I love you. Don't do it.
Why would you create a place you. Called Sodom and then get mad when they commit sodomy?
Or was sodomy only a thing that term that came up because the people in Sodom created it?
Okay, still fine. But
I don't know anything about language. I'm just saying shit. But what was your question?
I forget.
Your question was, why would they call the place Sodom?
And then get mad if you did sodomy.
And then I'm flipping it and I'm going, what if sodomy came first? Then they called the place Sodom.
That's a good point.
Or maybe the place was called Sodom and then that's when they invented sodomy.
Okay, maybe. All right, I forget my question. I forget how my question works. The point is,
was the weed good?
The weed was good.
Hold on, maybe this will help. Usually this helps, right? You ready?
Look at intermission for my brain.
Come on, bro. This is supposed to help your thoughts, you know?
I'm not a religion guy. I don't necessarily believe in God.
You look like the type of guy that's supposed to be in a synagogue going, hey,
no, if anything,
I'm going to kiss your dick.
If anything,
so that's like what rabbis do. Yeah, they kiss dicks.
They kiss dicks. If anything, if you were like, you had to say a religion, I would say Church of Satan.
That would be the religion that you would choose?
But it's not belief in Satan. It's just anti-Christianity. It's just like, I don't believe in what you guys are talking about. It's not Satanism. It's like Satan worship. Like, I don't pray to Satan.
I think that's what the Church of Satan is. The last time I heard in a podcast.
Yeah, it's not.
They were like, the Church of Satan ain't necessarily really a church of people worshiping Satan.
Right, exactly.
It's actually a group of people coming together who are kind of like, yo, we're just anti-Christianity dogma.
Yeah. But you. So it comes from people's need for dogma. Like, I need to have a philosophy to believe in. All right, well, the philosophy is that God doesn't exist, and still you should treat people nicely because you want to be treated nicely.
You don't think religion has a place in anything?
I think it does. I think you should believe in whatever you want to
believe.
You know
what's funny? Both me and you have the Middle Eastern faces of people who are like, you need to go to church or the synagoge or the mosque.
Yeah, but I don't.
Because you look like you should be a rabbi.
Yeah.
You do.
My brother's a rabbi.
Well, see. Is he really?
Yeah.
Your family really Jewish?
No.
But he is.
Got later in life.
Is he a cool rabbi, or is he a fucking God damn it, what are you doing with your life rabbi?
I mean, in those two circumstances, he's a cool rabbi. He was a biker, he was an actor, or he still probably acts and stuff, but he was a badass.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Just like a 20-year-older version of me, basically, but like different paths.
Do you still consider yourself Jewish?
He went to the Army or Navy or Air Force or something.
And, who the fuck knows?
He did one of the things that you did.
Marines.
Yeah, he's the ISIS.
ISIS Marines, bro. ISIS Air Force.
Now he's a rabbi and he's got into trouble and he, you know, straightened out and whatever.
You know, here's a thing that I want to share real quick.
This is an ISIS rabbi.
No. I just hold on. I gotta get. There you go. Whoa. There you are. I have to make sure we can see you. I want to play the video of the guy who's trying to steal that Palestinian's land. You look just like him, bro.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You know this guy. I don't know. You know the guy from New York who was like, if I don't steal it, who's gonna steal it?
Jacob, you know this is not your house.
Yes, but if I go, you don't go back. So what's the problem? Why are you yelling at me?
Dude, he looks just like you, bro.
I didn't do this.
But you're not
helping. It's easy to yell at me, but I didn't do this.
You never seen this before? My house. I could have sworn you posted something about this.
No one is allowed to steal it, yammi.
So it's like this Jewish guy who's from New York, and he just shows up on this Palestinian's home. And they're like, what are you doing? He's like, well, I'm going to take this land. She's like, that's my house. He's like, no. He goes, I have to take it. He's got a New York accent. And he's like, no, this is my land.
But is it like a sketch?
No, this is real.
Because it sounds like it's a joke. Like it's an Israeli guy taking a Palestinian's home.
But you know what's going on down there. I mean, that's real shit. And there's video now of this guy who was, this like happened like months ago. When Israel was invading for a minute, and then there was like all this like news coming out of there, and then some American Jews, like this guy from New York, who kind of looks just like you almost, and he's over there in this lady's backyard trying to fucking take the land because he's Jewish and the land belongs to him, not her. Yet he's from Staten Island or wherever the fuck.
And he's in Palestine. He's in
Gaza. Yeah, bro. You never seen this?
Nah.
I could have swore.
I'll watch it later.
I could have swore you posted something about this. No? I could have sworn you made a joke about it.
I make some jokes about Israel and Palestine, but...
But I could have sworn you used that video.
No.
Oh, anyways.
I don't do a lot of the splicing and remixing. And
so you don't like, listen to me when it comes to God, bro. I don't even know, man.
I don't know.
I don't know. Listen,
I'm
not even going to try like
that. I'm not going to push it on anyone. That's the only thing I don't like. That's the only thing.
What?
I'm a very do unto others.
Yeah.
So you don't want me to push Satanism or whatever the fuck on you? Don't push your shit on me.
Not only don't push it, don't act like you're better than me.
Don't act like you're better than me. Forget that.
That is the worst, bro. But,
and also, like, don't, like, your laws are your laws.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, man. Vote on it. Figure it out. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm right there with you, man. I have been, though, really looking at, like, religion and trying to tease out the positive parts of it, because there are positive things to religion.
100%. I know a lot of positivity to people who believe, like, you know, like whatever, like your mom believes so strongly. And it's like, dude, if you pull the thread, you're ruining this woman's life.
Yeah.
So it's just like, let her go.
Yeah.
Oh, you believe in that? That's great. Do your fucking thing. On the other hand, how dare she tell me I can't have a piece of bacon?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you don't eat the bacon. I mean, I don't eat bacon either because of my guys, but
because of your guys.
Well, or growing up, I do eat
because you grew up Jewish.
I do eat bacon sometimes, but I'm very picky about my bacon.
Really?
Yeah. Just because, like, I never got into, like, it's always kind of like,
I don't know what happened to me. I grew up not eating bacon, and then I went in the Marines and I ate bacon, and I was just like, yo, I really look forward to waking up.
The only time I like bacon is a BLT.
BLTs are great.
Yeah.
I don't have them often enough because to me it's just not enough meat. You know what I mean? It all depends on how they're made. Sometimes you use a lot of bacon.
Yeah, sometimes it's
suck. But that combination of lettuce, tomato, bacon, and a good bread.
Why is it so good? It's so crazy.
I think because they all contrast each other.
Yeah, because the crispy.
You got the crispy with the soft. You got the hot with the cold. You got the salt with the slightly sweet from the tomato. You got the slightly sweet that happens in the bread.
Yeah.
It's just like it hijacks your brain, man. I love bacon.
I love a BLT, but I don't put bacon on a burger.
I love bacon on a burger.
Bacon comes on a burger. I have them take it off.
You know what else is really good?
I don't like bacon wrapped anything.
You know what else is really good? One of my jokes where I talk about bacon for the longest time, I would be like, bacon is the best thing. You put on anything, makes that thing better. I go, put bacon in ice cream, delicious. And then in the joke, I go, put bacon in peanut butter. And I go, I got to try that.
Yeah. Right?
That kind of gets a laugh because I'm having this because I never tried it.
But people do like it.
A couple months ago, I did bacon peanut butter sandwiches. Why did I wait so long, bro? It's perfect. You gotta use the shitty peanut butter too, like the Jif.
Yeah. You want a real smooth guy.
Probably. You want that, like the Jif, because I hate to say it. I know the natural peanut butter is supposed to be really good for you, right? But that Jif takes me back to a kid, bro.
I don't want oil in my peanut butter.
Do you ever remember? Yes, I don't want oil.
Have it mixed already.
Get this peanut jizz out of here, bro. We don't need that.
Yeah, mix the thing.
Mix the thing.
Send it to me finished.
Listen, I like that peanut butter too, but bro, the Jif takes me back. When I was a kid, I used to take the peanut butter and I put sugar on it and then put it in bread.
Woo. That's the Jif. You want a real sugary.
Woo. But the crystals with it on top of it. Woo.
Dude, that's crazy. If I did that, my foot would fall off.
Well, now. I'm talking when we were kids and we could handle it, bro.
I think even as a kid, I would just eat a toe and fall off. I'd be like, oh shit, mom, my toe. Like, told you not to put Tang on your peanut butter sandwich, you fat fuck.
Wow. So what's pissed you off recently, bro?
Man, I don't like that.
You don't like that question?
Nah, man, I don't want to think about bad shit. It's so hard, man. It's so hard to fucking... I've been going through so much, like, shit. Like, I can't even... And, like, not that I've lost friends, but, like, I've stopped talking to certain people because it was, like, all, like, how you feeling today? And it's like, no, I get what you're doing. I get that you're just trying to, like, vibe with me and, like... Tell me it's okay. But like, if I'm not depressed at this moment, you're going to depress me.
Hey.
And it's like, yo, give me like, I don't get up like this for long often. So it's like, yo, let me like, I don't want, we'll talk about pissed off later when I'm sad and miserable. Like,
I've never seen you angry ever.
Well, you can't keep an emotional temper into your into your like later life, like you fucking heart attacks and fights. I can't.
Is that why you fucking scaled back?
Yeah, like I just had to calm down because it was like, what am I gonna pop out the car at an intersection and get my ass kicked by some MMA dude in fucking Hollywood? Like I can't be doing that shit anymore.
I want to see that though.
You know what I mean? Like 10, 15 years ago, like, yeah, I could fucking throw hands. But like now it's like,
last
time I punched someone, I was joking about this the other day. Last time I punched someone was like 6 or 7 years ago at this point already.
It's been longer for me.
And even then, my buddy Pete was like, that's the slowest punch I've ever seen connect. Like that dude could have left and come back and got hit.
It's like you were fucking punching underwater.
Dude, yeah, and he's like, dude, when was the last time? He's like, you know, because I'm out of practice, you know? There was definitely a point in my life where it was like, you know, like, let's go.
Oh, yeah. I'm getting up there in age, bro. I know better. That, huh? Listen, bro, even when I was younger and I had a temper, I was never somebody who started fights. I never started fights.
I wish I could say that.
I never started fights. I was always looking for somebody to give me a very good reason to fight them. Does that make sense to me?
Yeah, that's starting fights.
No, I'm not starting. No. Even if they would come after me, I would let them know right away. I'm like, look, man, I don't want to fight you. And then if they still come at me, now I can beat them righteously. You know what I mean? Like, that's the mindset that I had when I was a kid.
I watched my friend Rob York, fucking incredible dude. But I watched him say, I don't want to fight you, while kneeing a guy in the face.
Oh, I did that
repeatedly.
Before.
Like, I don't want to fight you. I don't want to fight you.
I did that when I was a bouncer.
Yeah.
The only guy I had to fight when I was about, I had to knee him in the face, and I had to keep telling him, I don't want to do this, bro. But I wanted him to, he just wasn't chilling out. He was drunk. Yeah. Listen, man.
You kind of want to do it, though.
You're right. So, like, you're fucking right. You're 100% right, though. But, I mean, listen, bro. I'm getting up there in age, man. I can't even.
Yeah, I can't. Like, I'm fat. I'm out of shape.
Bro, I got nerve damage in my fucking, like, in my neck now. So now my arm's weaker than it used to be.
Really?
Yeah, I got to get, like, surgery.
I mean, you look great. Like, you look like you're in great shape.
No, I appreciate it. But, like, actual, like, the pinched nerve is happening in my neck so much that it's reducing the amount of, like, strength that I have in this arm, man, which is like, I gotta get looked at. But that's just age, bro. Yeah. And not only that, even aside from age, just be nice.
Yeah,
you just be nice all the time, man. Right. That's the key to everything,
right? And
there's no need to confront people. Yeah. There's no need to fight.
I want to be a good time. I want to be a good time. That's why I do this for a living. I want to be a good time.
I want to be a good time too, bro.
I don't want to bum anyone out. I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. I want to have fun. I want to be a party. You know?
I mean, you used to have a pretty...
Obviously, everyone has a history. You know what I mean? You don't look like either of us. You don't look like either of us if you didn't do something. You know what I mean?
The fuck you talking about? Just because I look the way I do, I've done something, bro?
You must have... Yeah, dude, obviously. You fucking fought in a war?
I didn't fight in a war. I was in the Marines during the Clinton administration.
Okay.
He was not dropping bombs. He was dropping loads.
Yeah.
He was just fucking...
walking around the hall like, smell my fingers.
Yeah, exactly. That's a president we need again. No, I didn't fight no wars, bro.
I don't know, man. I feel like I see dudes who look like me.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, oh, yeah, probably.
Because I remember, I had to find out after, man. Like, I've known you for like a couple of years when we were doing the World Series of Comedy. And then it wasn't until like the second or third year that I know you that we got to talk. And then you told me about your life running poker rooms and you ran a brothel. Yeah. And I was just like, yo, what the fuck was that like, man? Well, because here's the thing. Man. You look like that guy.
I part owned a brothel. I didn't do day to day. I was one of the owners of it. Yeah.
Did you do the, you didn't run the day to day of it?
I didn't run the day to day.
Oh no.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, I was there sometimes.
Was it legal?
No. How is it legal?
I don't know. Look at your face.
And
then you're okay to talk about it?
Yeah. Why? Why not?
Statute of limitations, I guess.
I mean, were you going to go back and manufacture crimes I commit? You don't have any names.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I don't know. Clarissa. I don't know.
What?
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, go find out.
What was that like? And like, how did you get propositioned for that? How did that work out?
It started because of the...
This is in New York,
yeah,
right?
So this is going to be like a... This is... We're going to dig in a little bit. So I apologize if this gets long with
That's me. Fine. You want
it
the music?
It started with the poker room. The poker room is easy to fall into because it was a poker boom in the early 2000s. Everyone's playing poker. It's illegal in New York. So there are all these back rooms, you know, like you figure out how to get a, you figure out how to navigate between the law and the police and the mob
and get the words out
and the Russians and the Albanians and the Jews and the Israelis. And you make sure everything's copacetic with everybody and you pay who you got to pay and ignore who you got to ignore and avoid who you got to avoid.
Okay.
Yeah. And you figure all that stuff out and that comes with time.
That's
a
lot of work.
You make it shaken down a couple of times, but it's such a lucrative thing that I was like, you know what? It's worth doing all these things. And I got kind of ushered in a weird way because I got ushered in by like just like regular poker player dudes who already were established in that world.
Yeah.
So it was just like...
Like rounders.
Like you, like old-timer guys. Yeah, well, rounders, so that one guy is Russian mob.
Sure.
So we had those guys later, but when I first got
involved... Give him his miani.
When I first got involved, it wasn't really like that. It was a smaller thing.
Okay.
And then as it got bigger, then people wanted pieces and people started hanging around.
And it started getting seedier. No?
Both, because it blew up so big. So it almost got corporate.
Oh.
But with like this criminal element.
Sure.
So it's now it's not one dude making the decisions.
It's not independents doing it.
Yeah, now it's
organizations
like,
doing it.
Now it's like there's a board meeting.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean? Like, and it's like, what am I doing?
Albanians and Israelis.
Yeah, like right. Like my that. Albanian guy and my Israeli guy and my Russian guy and my Italian guy, they all got to fucking be, they got to agree that we're allowed to do this here.
In this section.
Yeah, over here.
During this time.
Right.
Otherwise, you're going to impede on my business.
Right. So then you hire a couple of massage girls just to like give guys back rubs, the big money guys back rub. And they'll go out and maybe they'll order food in and the girls will go get the food.
Oh, kind of like a cute concierge service.
Yeah, because you want these guys to be, I mean.
You want them to feel at home.
I'm thinking Molly's Game, they even did that. They even showed like the girls.
Molly? Who?
There was like that movie. It doesn't matter. Whatever.
Anyways, yeah.
It's all. Whatever.
Yeah.
So you hire these girls.
Yeah.
And then you find out that the girls are tricking.
Oh.
And so there's two ways to approach that. There's like, hey, we can't be doing that. We're doing crime over here. You're going to do this crime over here? We're going to get in trouble for this?
Your face, the way you said it, I feel like I'm there. Like you're channeling the moment. You're like, hey, we're doing crime over here. We got to do it over here too.
And then it's
like. What's the second way to approach it?
Well, I mean, it's really the same way. It's, hey, you can't be doing this over here if we're going to be doing this over here. Unless you're going to pay me to make sure you're safe over here. Mm. And then that money is so crazy.
More money than the poker games?
That money is so crazy.
What the fuck?
That you're like, can we turn this just into a lap dance room?
Yeah. So then it just made you to be like, fuck poker games.
Right. So it's all the same principles as how we would get away with it in the poker game. Grease the people you got to grease. Move every 6 months.
A lot of cops?
Lot of cops.
No shit.
A lot of cops. Playing.
How do you grease the cops? How do you deal with the cops that are not greasable?
The cops that play. The cops that play are the ones that let you know what's going on.
Oh.
So I got a buddy at the table.
Who's letting you know? We are looking out for this
gonna
guy.
He's going to go, hey, guys, I got to leave by 6 today. I have to leave by 6. I'm only playing till 6 today, guys.
Ooh. I'm not coming Saturday.
Yeah. And so we all go, oh, we got to be out by 6? Okay. The raids tonight? Okay, thank you.
Oh, wow. And then it would happen?
Something to that effect.
Were there moments that like stuff like that would happen? Where you got the information and then it turned out to be real?
Usually it's accurate.
I get an example?
It's not worth the risk even in some instances.
What's not worth the risk?
To risk it. Like to not take his word for it.
Oh, yeah, exactly. No, 100%. Mean? Yeah.
So if he's like, I got to be out by 6, you're like, we're all leaving by 6 then.
We're going to leave by 5. Fuck it.
Yeah. I'll hold the door for you.
Yeah. Everybody gets out now.
Yeah.
You kick out the cop too. No. Get the fuck out of here.
Right. But then there's like, you know, but there's other instances like that. I mean, we've gotten raided. Like we've been raided, I mean, probably 5 or 6 times.
With the poker game or the brothel?
Poker game. So the brothel is a different set.
You might want to get closer to the mic because you're kind of getting like farther away from it. You can bring it up to you.
The brothel is a different set of crimes.
Okay.
So with the brothel, it was more like whatever someone once told us it takes 6 months to build a case. I don't know if that's true. I have no clue.
You heard that it takes the cops
six months
to build a case on you.
On the type of operation we were running.
Okay. So that's the grace period is what they're saying. That's the ticking clock.
Yeah. So we would just always be paying rent on two places. And this is something we learned with the poker room. You could even have three places because there's such...
The money's so good. It's so easy.
The money's so good, and the rent is so cheap for just an office space or like a shitty.
How much was it? Like,
we
don't
need walls in a.
How much?
In the. Oh, I don't even remember. Maybe like less than $1,000 a month.
That's good.
And we're making $1,000 a night.
Jeez, that's great.
So it's like you have two rooms. Yeah. Sometimes you get lucky, you get a third room.
Yeah.
And then.
So then you do like a 5 month rotation or something?
So you do a 5 month rotation, or even just break it up in the middle for kicks. Hey guys, starting next week, we're at the other spot. 224 Belmore Boulevard.
And then how long do you have there?
And then we're there for a few months. And if it starts feeling gross.
So you mean to tell me that they have to rebuild the case if you move to a different location?
Listen, I don't know.
So this is hearsay?
This is hearsay, and we just went with it.
That's funny.
And we've been raided a lot of times. I mean, everywhere I've been raided.
So every spot.
Right.
Okay, so what happens during a raid?
But, well, hold on. But the thing about having those backup spots is tomorrow we're at the other place.
Yeah, but like who's going to jail?
So
that's the real. I mean, fine.
So in
I understand. Like, yeah, you can if you go to jail, fuck that.
Well,
right.
The punishment is at the time it was like a $500 fine for promotion of gambling. That was the only crime they could really get you with. Unless they have like a racketeering charge or something.
Yeah.
But we're not racketeers. We're just running a home game. They don't like, I'm not Bonobo crime family or whatever.
Whoa.
The fuck.
So they can only.
They don't have a file on Neil Rubenstein. Their file on Neil Rubenstein is very thin.
So it's almost like a waste of time for them to break your shit up.
Right. Unless, and this is when they come. I guess I'm not going to use real names, but
like a big person.
We had
a heavy roller.
We had a guy.
Crime boss.
We had a guy in the room that was doing pharmaceuticals. And it was the biggest pharmaceutical ring on Long Island.
It was ecstasy?
No, pharmaceuticals.
Like real pharmaceuticals.
Adderall and
Viagra.
Viagra and Percocet and Vicodin. Real, and like a massive thing. And you could Google him, but I don't want to say his name.
No. I'm not. We don't have to. It doesn't matter.
But him and this other guy, we called, Joey Pretzels, right? Okay. Like everyone's got a nickname.
Okay.
So him and this other guy, Joey Pretzels, they're playing. We don't know. And the FBI. This is why it was weird. Is because it was the FBI. Cops, you like stall them. Everyone puts their money away.
Really?
You have like little protocols. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Even cops you don't know.
Yeah, you have protocols.
Even cops you don't know.
Yeah.
What? So the protocol is. Is do this thing and then see if they dance.
No. Protocol is put all the mark down what everyone's got in front of them so I can make good on that money and then hide the money.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I hide all the money in the building.
Yeah.
All the dealers get out of their chairs and sit at fake stacks at the table.
Fake stacks?
Fake stacks because they weren't playing. So they just get at a stack.
Okay.
So like you have 200 in front of you. You slide me 100.
You're talking about the chips.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I get out of my chair. I sit in the player chair. Uh-huh. You slide me $100 in chips.
Uh-huh.
So it looks like I'm just playing. Yeah. So the dealers can't get arrested.
Oh.
So they go, who are the dealers? And no one fucking talks.
Okay.
So no dealers. Who's in charge? I'm in charge.
Okay.
This is my thing.
Yeah.
Who are the dealers? You're going to have to talk to me in jail about that. And then they take you in. And then all it is a $500 thing. And we have the lawyer.
Do they ask you in jail? Yeah, you say you're going to have to task me in jail.
Yeah, and you gotta
not say anything.
You got to not say anything.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I mean? So I've only been arrested for that once.
So then basically what you're doing in that situation is be like, look, bro, this is my own personal thing. I don't know why you guys.
Why you're at. Right, exactly.
It's like, we're not making money. We're just having fun.
Right. But who's got warrants? Oh. And then this guy's got a warrant. This guy's got a warrant. This guy's got a warrant.
And then what? They pin that on you?
No, no, but they arrest everybody who's got warrants. So now it was like worth it. Nine arrests made at the blah, blah, blah.
I see what you're saying.
And they make us look like villains.
I see what you're saying.
Home, a casino in Long Island. Ruining lives.
Inflated. Yeah.
So the FBI came one time and we were like, this is
legit.
We're all like,
how did you know it was different? Were they all in suits?
Well, they were all in FBI jackets. Yeah. Because we're looking at the screen and we're like, that doesn't say NASA. What the fuck?
NASA.
And this guy, NASA's the county police.
Oh.
So we're like, that doesn't say fucking. So the guy.
I think he said NASA.
Yeah, it doesn't say NASA.
I'm like, why?
Why is NASA here? The guy, the ringleader guy, the mob guy who had the prescription pharmaceuticals.
Sure.
He's at the table.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, sorry, boys, that's for me.
Oh.
And we're like.
He just knew.
Yeah. And we're like, oh, first of all, why'd you come here?
If like, you knew you had heat.
Here?
So he knew he had heat coming.
So we let the fucking FBI in.
So he knew they were going to come.
Yeah. So we let the FBI in. The FBI is literally like, don't worry, guys. We're not here for you. We're here for blah, 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 blah.
That's that's how it is in the movies, right?
Right. And I guess.
In the movies, the guys are like, we don't give a shit about
it. They didn't care about anybody. They were very polite.
Brothel, big deal. We're here for this guy.
Very polite. Well, this is at the card room.
I was just overinflated.
So he stands
sex slaves? No big deal.
He stands up, he goes against the wall, they cuff him, they're like, you're under arrest for blah blah blah, racketeering, drug smuggling. And we're like like I always knew he was like something, but I didn't know.
But you didn't know it was all that shit.
And then they were like, who's Joseph whatever, D'Agostino? And we're like, and you know, first of all, we wouldn't say anyway, but no one knew. And we're like, Joseph D'Agostino. And then Joey Pretzels is like, that's me. And we're like, oh, Joey Pretzels.
That's his name. D'Agostino.
Yeah. And then whatever. And then we like Googled him and he's like he's a capo or a capo at the fucking, like these are real deal guys.
A
capo they call
him. What's a capo?
Like a murderer for the mob.
No.
Yeah. He was like an enforcer.
So you just had wise guys coming in and out of that.
Well, we had all the guys. I'll tell you a quick.
That's fascinating, bro.
But it was like, so I grew up like kind of in a.
You would make how much a night?
Personally?
Yeah. Well, I mean, how much did the room make a night? And then how much would you take home?
The room could make up from like 1,000 to 3,000 a night probably.
And how long is that night?
I mean, that's a whole, could start at 6, do like a tournament and then go late with a cash game.
So like 6 till 2?
6 till 4.
6 till 4.
Sometimes 6 till 6. Ooh. You know, people like getting like, all right, we're going to go now. It's breakfast. You know, like go to the diner for breakfast at 5 in the morning.
So anywhere from $1,000 to $3,000.
Yeah.
Early 2000s. That's probably like five, six grand now, you know?
Yeah, it's probably double at least. Yeah.
Almost.
I grew up kind of like a criminal because like my brother, like I was doing, betting slips.
Well, I don't know what that is.
Parlays. Those like.
But for bookers?
Yeah. For bookies.
Okay.
So bookmakers would make like parlay slips.
Okay.
For football week. For week
15. I've never gambled on any of those. My friends, they did and they ruined watching football.
Right. So
because they would just be fucking like losing their shit.
Yeah. So
and I'm just trying to watch a game.
Right. So I'm ninth grade and I'm bringing those into high school for my brother and my dad. So like I never had a chance. Like my dad's philosophies were like, it's not illegal if you don't get caught.
So your dad's kind of a criminal.
My dad was a lowbrow criminal.
No shit.
100%. Very bad criminal. Like he would teach me how to like.
Bad is in terms of like he's bad at it or just a bad person.
No, like it was like low level, like
what's low level?
Like changing the fucking price tags on a thing.
Very low level.
Yeah, like just like scammy bullshit. What are you doing? Like,
I know what you mean.
Like if we're breaking the law, let's fucking sell drugs.
Yeah,
like,
if you're gonna break the law.
Yeah,
he's like putting his toe in the pond.
Yeah, like they would fake social security numbers so they could do this scam at work.
Bring this closer to you. Just lift it up. Like if you lift it up, it'll get closer to you. There you go. Perfect.
They would like run this like scam where they would like get fake social security numbers and then like put them on the shape sheet at work. And so like they would technically get hired to work at the, they were at the, I don't want to say where they were.
Okay. Okay.
They,
okay. They, some job.
They worked at like, let's say a like a loading dock a where loading you shape dock. Where like, but, and
where you shape
where like you like, so everyone goes in and signs up.
Yeah.
And then by seniority, you yeah. get called to work.
Yeah.
If people don't show up.
Yeah.
So we have nine
it's guys. It's kind of like a waiting list.
Yeah. But
like standby.
Yeah. They do that at like the docks and, okay. and truck drivers.
And they'd be like, oh, so-and-so's not here. Joe Capisco.
Yeah.
Joe's not here.
Yeah. Joe Piscopo, number one on the list. And Joe's not here. Okay. Number two on the list is Mike Eshak.
I'm here.
Right here. All right. You're on the 117 route with Chino. Okay. And you're like, okay, cool.
But he doesn't work there.
But no, but. Chino doesn't like anyone coming with him.
Okay.
So you say, well, yeah, Mike Eshak, I'm here. And they go, okay, Mike Eshak, you're with Chino. And then you give Chino $50 and you go home.
Okay, and why is that?
Because now Chino can go do his route without anyone bothering him.
Yeah.
And he made an extra $50.
Okay.
And you made $50 to just go the fuck home.
Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a
minute. So you're getting paid $100 a night, let's say.
Oh, that's so they pay you ahead of time?
No. You have to wait for your check.
Sure.
But they pay you because they think you're on the truck with Chino.
But then instead, you just give him half of what you're getting paid.
And you go home.
And you go home. So he gets an extra 50 to right. do the job.
Right.
And then you just make 50 by not doing anything.
Right. Oh. So that's a regular move there.
Oh.
But then my dad is an even bigger scumbag. So my dad cuts out the Mike Eshak.
Okay.
He gets a fake security, social security number.
Okay.
He writes it on the thing every week.
Okay.
A fake one.
Okay.
And he makes up a name, Mike Eshon.
Okay.
Mike Eshon. Every week, Mike Eshon shows up. Mike Eshon keeps going up in seniority because he shows up every fucking week okay. and signs up every week.
Okay.
And then one day they go, number seven, Mike Eshon.
And
my dad goes, here.
Okay.
And pays himself the $50.
Okay.
And gets the fucking $50 check to meet Keyshawn. And then he has the fake social security number to cash the check at the cash checking place.
What the fuck? Hold on a second. I'm a little confused.
So if the check is $100.
Hold on, but the money's supposed to go to me.
No, a fake guy.
So he makes a fake guy.
A fake guy.
Okay. So does he still collect those checks?
Yeah.
Okay.
As the fake guy.
And what does the fake guy help? How does that help him?
Because instead of getting $50 from Mike Eshak, he gets $100. Because he gets $50 from Mike Eshon, this fake guy, and he gets Mike Eshon's check.
Oh.
He's working two shifts.
Oh.
He's working his shift.
And this fake number shift that's still able to cash. How the fuck are they able to cash that shit?
Cash checking place. You can cash check
still
it.
Now that scam
this
would
is
work.
Back, this is back in the 70s
that's
and
what I kind of figured. Yeah.
Yeah. This is the 70s and 80s.
Now you can get away with that.
I mean, you can get away with something. Whatever it is you get away
he's
with,
he's going to figure it out. That's fucking fun.
But it's like low level scams. So like I was working at that place.
Yeah.
At 14 or 15, whatever it was.
No shit.
But I never knew they would just cash my checks. I'm a minor. It's my son. This is my son's check. So they would just cash my checks.
So he was getting your checks.
So I have like a pension over there. I mean, I don't really, but you know, like I might have if they didn't fuck it up. I'm
bro,
sure
that,
they fucked
that,
it up.
Honestly, man, that's like a fascinating thing. Like when I hear shit like that, sorry, I gotta adjust these cameras a little bit. When I hear that stuff, it blows me away, bro. Because like that type of life, like what did you think of your dad while you were growing up? Like, was there a moment like where you were like, this guy is my dad? And then you were like, who the fuck is this guy?
Well, you look, I mean, it's not until recently that I really, because you look up to the guy.
Yeah. Yeah, you do look up to the guy because he's your fucking dad.
Yeah. But then like lately, I'm like.
How old were you till you, where you started going, you started sniffing him out? Because I'm pretty sure at a very young age, he's teaching you all these scams and shit.
Dude, it wasn't until like recently that I was like, oh, he ruined my life. My parents ruined my life.
What?
Like, I didn't have a chance.
It took that long.
Yeah, like, it was real recent where I was like, oh, like, because I would always think, like, I wish I had a normal life. I wish I could just want to go to an office.
Huh.
You know, I wish I could just want to go to an office and have a kid. You know what I mean? And
like you wish that you wanted that normie
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I never wanted that stuff because I never saw it and it never enticed me. Because I would see other kids doing it, and I was like, "Ah, I'm not that kid. I'm this kid."
Right.
And I liked being rebellious, and I liked Motley Crue, and I liked what they look like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, the environment that he gave you didn't lend you to go, "Hey, this cookie cutter life is the way to go."
Right.
He was telling you, "Nah, man, we're going outside the lines. We draw outside the lines."
Right. But ended up having, you know, dying in debt and not having it. You know what I mean? Like, but the one thing
How was your mom?
Huh?
How was your mother through all this?
My mother's a whole different story. But I will say that they had fun, as much fun as they could.
Who's they?
My parents.
Sure.
Like, they lived their life. They made bad choices at every step of the way, but like...
But they were enjoying it.
Not that they were enjoying it. They didn't have a want for anything. There just was no future.
Yeah, it was the moment only for them.
Yeah, and that's really how that's how I've lived.
And that's why you're funny.
But that's also why I'm, you know, going to end up in the Tennessee River. Hi, Scott.
You're not going to end up in the Tennessee River, motherfucker. We were just talking about pattern recognition, yeah. You piece of shit.
There's a really nice pattern. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So we saw these girls turning tricks and
then you were like, let's just team up.
And we saw the money difference and we were like, we could do this. Same.
And would you get the same customers?
I mean, some, yeah, of course. Some debaucherous people are debaucherous people.
It changed the,
clientele. I call it all Noah's Ark. Poker game, the brothel, all crime situations. Because no one wants to go their first time alone because you feel scummy.
Sure.
So you want to go with your bro.
Sure.
So it was just two thuggy black kids, two Asian nerds, two Hasidic Jews, two Indian guys, two Persian princes, two Japanese businessmen.
Yeah. Wow.
And it was just like...
It opened it up to a whole... It was
two of a thing. Because
sex is everything, bro. Yeah. Sex is for everyone.
Yeah. And then one person would be like, oh, I'm just here to support him. And then a girl rubs her ass on your dick and you're like, I guess I could go too.
How much did they charge?
I mean, honestly, I can't really recall like super details, but like, let's say it was like 60 to get into the building.
60 to get into the
just
building.
To get into the,
that's just the cover charge.
That's to get in.
Just to get inside.
And then it would be $20 a dance.
$20 so a dance. So kind of like a strip club.
So you walk in and there was like a tiki bar where you could just have a drink and relax.
Right.
And the girls would walk around and then you pick the girl, or the girl would pick you.
Sure.
You give her $20 for a dance if you just want to dance.
Sure.
And you just go into the lap dance lounge. It's a little bit bigger, a couple of poles and some couches. And the girls would dance fully nude. You can't touch. It's a public space. $20 a dance. The girl keeps all that. That's yours. And then if the girl gets you to go to the room with her, then you're paying for the room.
How much is the room?
Which let's say would be $100 a half. Let's say
$100 for a half hour.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's ours.
That you take that.
We take the room rental.
The room rental's yours.
She's paying for the room.
She's paying for the room.
He's paying for the room.
But it comes out of her cut. Somebody's paying for the room.
He pays for the room.
He pays for the room.
And then he tips her what she wants.
Sure.
So then there's a couple of structures. One, I could see a scenario where we would give her some of the room, like she did get the sale, but in that situation, then we would take some of her tips. So I think that what we did, because we were like, we tried to be like pro sex work, like pro, like, you know, like we're not forcing anybody to do anything. Like we're not, like these women want to work here and do this stuff. Sure. Like, so they would just, we would charge for the room and then we wouldn't take any of their tips.
So then it was almost as if like you were, instead of like making the money off them mostly, it's your...
We're facilitating.
You're just like, yo, this is just a room.
This is just a safe place.
I don't
place.
Know what they do in this room.
This is a safe place for you to work.
Yeah.
So we charge at the door. That's for security.
That's $60.
And we charge for the room.
How much of that goes to security?
Well, we have to have good security.
No, I know that, but do you think all of that goes to security? I'm pretty sure you've like raised that, because like I know as a business person, I'm like, if it's like $60, 10 will go to me, and then 50 will go to security, I mean, or something.
Probably, we took money from that too, skimmed everything, but like, you know, you have to pay. So let's say a good security guard to work a nightclub wants $250 a night.
Yeah,
we got to double that. This guy's doing a crime.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So we got to be, okay, it's $500 a night for security guard. That's one guard.
That's one guard.
So we need two guards at minimum.
That's $1,000 a night.
Right.
Wow.
Plus, then we fucking have to build those magnetic doors on both sides.
That's an expense.
And we have to have the camera system set up that we can see both people coming in the front door, people coming in our door, what's going on in the elevator. And then we have to have all that in the office.
You still got raided when you did the brothel? The
brothel, we never got raided.
Damn.
We moved very quickly.
It seems like brothels.
We moved very quickly.
It doesn't seem like cops are really concerned with sex work anymore like they used to be. Do you know what I mean? It seems like it, at least. I could be wrong.
They're looking for different things. They're looking for people in the system. So if you're doing other things, like if we were also bookmaking, in that room,
yeah,
for sure we would have got raided.
You would have got raided.
Yeah, because then it's racketeering, and then it's organized crime.
Wow, but the brothel, not so, because you're mainly acting like facilitators.
Honestly, I have no idea. We just skated. Honestly. That's it.
So the majority of the money you made was just from the rental of the room.
But we had a philosophy.
Rental of the room is what you made the money. You made no money off of how much they charge the guys?
Well, you can charge a girl to work.
Okay.
So that would be sometimes.
How much would that be? Like if you did charge
her to work? If you wanted to charge, you could charge a percentage. It's like a strip club or whatever.
Okay.
But
how much were these girls' fees? Like $1,500?
I mean, you could get it. I mean, you could get like a BJ for $100 probably.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like unprotected BJ for like $100.
$100.
Yeah, yeah.
And then sex.
But it costs you $260. You know what I'm saying? It costs you $60 to get in. It costs you $100 for the room. And you're giving the girl $100.
I understand that.
So it costs you $260. She's just getting $100, which isn't a great deal if you think about it.
For her.
Really?
So why would she want to do it then?
Because she does more stuff. And more often.
That's what I'm saying.
So she's going to get 6 lap dances out of you before you take her in the room.
Right.
And then she's going to get you in the room for an hour.
Right.
You're only going to last 7 minutes.
Exactly. Exactly.
And you're paying her $500 to nut on her tits.
Yeah. And then she's going to be able to clean up and then go back to work again.
Within the hour. Yeah.
Otherwise, if she was outside, she would have to source her own clientele again, right. Wait for a call or whatever.
So we would do that too. We would facilitate. Like if a girl wanted to operate out of a motel on Long Island,
yeah,
we would facilitate that too. So we would have security guys or drivers, or sometimes I would do it, where you just rent the room for the girl, put the ad in Backpage for the girl. I mean, we're going back to when Backpage was around.
Yeah, I remember that.
Put the ad in Backpage for the girl. Answer the phone.
If anybody doesn't remember, Backpage was a Craigslist for sex work. They tried to disguise it as you could get other stuff there too. But the majority of the time, people went there for the sex work.
Yeah.
So then you would also facilitate out calls.
Yeah. It's in calls.
Oh, so the guys would have to come to your place.
To our hotel.
Ah.
But I would sit in my car across the street from the girl to make sure that, and she'd have little like signals for the blinds.
Oh, wow. What were the signals?
Well, she would just switch the blinds.
What does that mean?
Yeah, we're done. Or if it's like flips back and forth, it's like come in.
But
honestly, it's never happened. And okay. What the fuck? What's gonna happen?
Did you have a gun?
Let's say he murders her. She's gonna fucking be flipping the fucking thing, and she murders her. I'm not gonna know. I'm not gonna know if he murders her.
And then what happens?
Until he leaves, and I don't see the fucking blinds. And then I'm like,
and then what do you do?
I gotta run into the room, see that she's dead, and then go fucking chase the guy. But it's never happened, thank God. And I don't know, would I do that?
What the fuck?
Would I do that? I don't know.
To think that that's what it would be, man. Wow.
Well, I don't know what I would
do. Did you have a gun?
Yeah, I had some things, but...
Things?
I'm going to shoot a guy in
a howitzer?
I'm going to shoot a guy at 9 p.m.
Come up with helicopters?
And it's girls working at like 4 p.m. too. It's like... Checking at the hotel is 3. We're checking at 3. She's working by 4.
That's kind of dangerous, bro.
What?
I mean, this type of
work. Well, yeah, it's dangerous, but it's like, I don't know, everyone kind of... It's dangerous because it's not legal.
Well, it's also, well, yeah, and then it's also because, like, you know, you're...
But if they legalize it, it's not dangerous at all.
No, but if you, but you're, what I'm saying, you're taking a chance driving this girl to this other guy's place. You have no idea
how that guy's going to be. Our place.
You still take him
to your place. Guys are coming to our place.
Still your place.
But it would be like a hotel room. That's what, you see what I'm saying?
But is that at your building?
No. I'm saying we would facilitate...
The room.
Like, if she didn't want to come into Manhattan...
Sure.
...to work...
Sure.
...and she was like, hey, I want to work at the Motel 6 in Bethpage...
Sure.
...I would say, okay, we'll pick you up here at this time.
Yeah.
Our fee is this.
Yeah.
We place the ad for her. We handle the calls.
Yeah.
People come and go go into room 17... And they go into room 17. She switches the blinds while he's getting dressed. And so
she'll
And
she'll only do one hit on that, or she'll do like multiples within that room.
Oh, no. All day she spends there.
Oh, so, and then you'll facilitate like the security and all that. And making sure
right. So when he's getting dressed, she switches the blinds. So I know she's alive. Because that guy doesn't know to switch the blinds after he murders her. But if he did, why are you still inside?
If he called the cops at that point, right? I mean, that's the very interesting thing. It's when you start thinking about that shit, like if one of the girls get murdered,
I mean,
I mean,
I don't know. I don't call the cops for anything, right? So I don't know. Do you call the cops for that? I don't know. It's gonna look bad no matter what.
I think it would look worse if they found out later that you just bounced. But then again, it's probably better to take the chance and hope that they don't find out.
I could be like, I didn't know.
What the fuck?
I dropped her off and I left. I don't know. I guess. I don't know. If a girl got murdered on my watch, I don't know. We don't know. Just like, I mean, you don't know what's going to happen. You know what I mean? Like, you can set protocols, but I don't know.
Yeah, you're right.
I never really thought that ahead. Like, if you were, I know what I'm supposed to do, but I don't know if I would do it.
To me, it's like, that's a fucking exciting life that you lived, bro. That's kind of exciting. Like, that's a, and, you know, I understand, like, probably being in it, it's like, yo, it is what it is. But from somebody like me from the outside, it's like, damn, you was not in the thick of it, but you were like waving, like you were basically treading water on the deep end. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Naively.
Naively, yeah.
Like, okay.
But also, you're very likable. I bet a lot of people never had problems with you.
No,
on a personal level.
Yeah, because I know how to navigate egos too. Yeah. Where I'm like,
yeah,
oh, this guy's an alpha. I'll back off.
Yeah.
You're the guy.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Exactly. I was like that when I was a doorman.
But I
was very good at massaging egos.
Yeah, like, all right,
I'm not trying to work.
Yeah,
whatever I can get you. You know.
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah. You're good.
You'll kick all of our asses.
Yeah. Your dad's very important. I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's
insulted your heritage.
Yeah.
So that's what
I called you Persian. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So that was the thing with my. Do you know who my daddy is? Was it me? Am I your dad? So I was just saying with my dad and my brother and like just being like a criminal my whole life. Like, I was always on the impression, and this is something that my brother kind of instilled in me.
Yeah.
That I'm on the fence about now.
Huh.
Where he was always like, if you're nobody,
yeah,
nobody's coming to see you.
Sure.
I'm nobody. I run a small card room.
Yeah.
In a suburban town.
Yeah.
The guy who knocks on my door is a gumball gangster at best.
A what? A
gumball gangster at best. 5 cent machine.
Gumball gangster?
That's at best. Because I'm nobody.
I've never heard that term, gumball gangster.
So I'm nobody. If you're coming to me, then you're nobody. And I ain't scared of nobody. So you come to my door and I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about, bro.
In terms of what?
Until you try to shake me down at my room in Syosset, I don't know what you're talking about. You're going to have to go talk to somebody else. And then one day somebody else comes.
Hey.
And it's somebody that I've heard of.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but I'm nobody. I thought if you're nobody, nobody comes.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, but you're here. And you're somebody.
Oh, wow.
So you got to talk to us.
Oh, wow.
So it's like, wow.
So then the rules broke.
So then the rules changed now.
Yeah.
Now it's like, I got to grease fucking more palms.
Yeah.
I thought once I had the cops,
that was it.
I ain't need nobody.
Now you got to grease these guys.
I got to talk to these fucking
Albanians
guys.
Are like, we don't want Jews here or whatever.
Well, Albanians is a separation.
Or whatever. I'm just saying, like, you know.
Albanians.
The Japanese are like, no Koreans here, you know.
Yeah. The Albanians are their own.
What do you mean? Like what? Like what? Their women are hot, bro.
Dude, Albanians are the craziest motherfuckers
in
the
crazy.
World.
They're crazy. I know some. I know some in Detroit.
Crazy.
Out of their fucking mind. Hilarious. Funny people.
I saw a guy put a gun to an Albanian's head.
What? Through?
What? No, put a gun here.
Oh, two.
Put a gun to his head.
Yeah.
And the Albanian went, you think I'm scared of a gun? I grew up in a war. And everyone in the room did like the Homer into the bush. Like,
and he said it with the accent too.
Yo, the accent and just calm.
Yeah.
He's like, you think I'm, he's like, I'm sorry.
I know death.
Do you think this scares me?
Dying scares me.
Hilarious. And we were all just like, oh, that's the toughest thing. Yo, when he said, I grew up in a war, I was like, that's, I'll never hear something tougher.
I started a war.
That would be tougher. I hid under the table.
Shut up.
Fat me just slid.
Shut up.
Yo, I was like, I'm not getting shot because this guy's a lunatic. No fucking way. Yo, I slid under the table.
This is the poker game?
This is a poker room, but this is in New York City. This is a...
the city.
It was called Broadway Social Club. It was like the big one.
Oh, so it wasn't yours.
Like Phil Hellmuth.
It wasn't yours.
Yeah, no.
You were just there.
Yeah.
I was hanging and playing.
Dealing. I just worked there, yeah.
Wow, bro.
Yeah. So that's how I got my own room, was because I dealt at all the big clubs.
Yeah.
And I'm a little bit louder and more outspoken and easier to talk. Like, I'm not autistic.
I can.
So... Like
all
the other dealers are criminals or autistic, so they like don't know how to fucking get along through life. And they waste their money on whatever.
Uh-huh.
And like the managers all recognize like a leadership quality.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, we need an assistant guy for this day.
Group of fucking on the spectrum motherfuckers, right, you have charisma.
And those guys would rather play and lose money.
Yeah.
And I would rather not. I would rather make money. Like, I got into this because of crime, not because of poker.
Because of crime.
Well, because, yeah, it's the best way to make money.
But basically, what was happening was you just started going into naively everything your dad set you up for.
Yeah. And I would just walk in like, oh, my dad prepared me for this.
Damn.
My dad was so low level that I was just out of my depth at all times. Like, I would do drug runs and then find out that the kid I was with, his dad is DEA.
What?
So, like, if we got arrested, only I would get arrested.
Yes, that's right.
And I didn't find that out for, I didn't find that out for 10 years.
After.
Yeah. I'm reading an article about one of my friends who got hurt or whatever from back in the day. And he's like, son of DEA agent, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like.
What the fuck?
I'm like, you fucking kidding?
But so the kid, he wasn't like a narc. He was just, he was trying to be a criminal. He was trying to be anti-dad.
Oh, no. He was on PCP at all times.
Oh, wow.
But we would go get PCP.
He's probably neglected by his dad. Dad, his job was probably everything, you know?
I don't know. Well, it's so weird, dude. Like, because I'm still boys with the one guy. The other guy became a sergeant in the police sergeant. So, like, I don't know if, like, one was, like, neglected and one was, like, dad's favorite or, like, maybe one was like more socially adjusted and he became a cop and the other guy was a little fucking.
Uh-huh.
But that's the guy I like a little bit better anyway.
That's funny.
Who's like, he's still kind of like a criminal, but.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just like things like that where it's like I was out of my depth at all times and I had no idea until way later.
And you just had to figure it out as you went.
But I never had. No, I didn't have to figure it out because I was like, again, like it was just like. Mild inconvenience.
This is like really fascinates me, bro. This has like been a long time since I had a, like an interview where I'm just like, I can't stop. There's like so much more that I want to know.
Like we would get raided and I wouldn't get arrested.
Because?
Luck. But my work would fucking be gone for 6 weeks. You know what I mean?
I think you're peeking a little. Uh-oh. I got it. No, it's okay. I'll just bring it down. Go ahead.
No, that's, yeah, just like I would get,
Yeah.
Like, I would lose money and, like, be in a bad spot financially, maybe. Or I just wouldn't get, like, I wouldn't be making it the way I wanted to be making it, let's say, or whatever. But, again, it's just, like, always mild. It was, like, always, like.
But it seems like you had really good luck.
I feel like I have, like, even Steven luck.
See, even Steven, huh?
Yeah, like, I'll be down to, like, my last dollar. And then, like, something will happen. And I'll be like, oh, I have enough for rent this week. I didn't know I was going to have rent this week.
Can I ask you something really quick? Just before we end the podcast or whatever, I just want to know a little bit tips on how to grease criminals or cops. Like,
what do you mean?
Like, what do you do? How do you approach
that? They'll let you know.
Oh, okay, hold on a second. So when you realized that you had to grease people,
yeah,
right, what was the first encounter that made you realize it? Do you remember that encounter?
Like the very first of my life?
The very first one while you were doing poker or whatever.
Oh, because
you said you were like, if I'm a no one, I'm going to know no one. And then.
Because, all right, remember the example with Chino on the truck?
Yeah.
That $50 is greasing Chino. That's grease.
Okay.
I give him 50 bucks and he doesn't tell them that I wasn't on the truck.
No, I know that, but for the poker.
And then he gives me 50 bucks to not tell him, not tell them that I wasn't on the truck.
I know that, but then the what I'm talking about is...
Oh, so it's the same thing. So the guy comes and I say, I'm nobody, so you're nobody. And he's like, we'll see about that. And then the other guy comes and he's like, listen, I know to everyone else you think you're nobody, but because you're here and this is my world, to me, you're somebody.
Okay.
And you're somebody who owes me money.
Hey, that's exactly how it's just basically you're somebody who owes me money.
Maybe he'll say that or maybe he'll.
And then how did you negotiate that first?
Then it's just negotiations. He's like, I expect $100 a week. And you're like, $100 a week? Go fuck yourself $100 a week.
You tell him that?
Yeah. If it's the number's ridiculous. Yeah.
Okay. So what would you agree to?
I mean, I don't know. Maybe I would probably do points. Back then we were probably doing points.
Okay. So meaning that they would get a certain percentage of what you guys bring
in. Right. So at the end of the week, I got to fucking show the board my fucking spreadsheet.
Oh, my God. You got to keep spreadsheets?
Well, not really. It's a note card, but it's showing the board of directors. That's what I'm saying.
Evidence. I hate that shit.
But that's what. Well, it's on note cards with not like real.
It's coded. It's coded.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the cops could decode that.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. But all that stuff gets
fucking decode hieroglyphics in fucking Egypt. You think they can't figure out?
But all that stuff gets ripped up or whatever. Like, you know, we don't keep that records.
Okay.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, it becomes corporate. It's like,
wow.
Now, like, it used to be just like me and this fucking dickhead and the silent partner. We just chop up the money at the end of the night.
And how long did that go for until the corporation came?
Yeah, it came. It was like 2 or 3 months. That was great. Yeah, it was great. It was awesome.
And then
we have a second table. Then we have a third table. Now we have a fourth partner.
Yeah.
You know? Wow. And it's like, oh, this fucking guys. You did nothing. You don't even show up to play.
So let me ask you just really quick from a business standpoint, what was your percentage of your takings that would go to paying these VIGs, so to speak?
I don't remember.
If you were to guess, what percentage? Like for me with my real estate.
Maybe like 10, 15, like an agent fee.
You mean that? So that is split up amongst all guys would be 10 to 15%.
Yeah,
collectively.
Like that's like what's the acceptable loss wager or whatever. Like
kind of like when I have a manager for my rental properties, it's 10%.
Yeah, or like if you have an agent for your bookings,
10%,
10%, 15%.
So you're saying
a great manager is 20%.
But okay, I'm talking about the people that you have to pay off grease money.
Right. So I'll use
the grease money would be roughly 10 to 15% of your takings. Right.
Because once it becomes more than a partner share. We're closing up and they know that they're not stupid, they're not dumb. Yeah. They know if they press too hard the room closes, which is why like we see in the movies and it's like it's like no, you wouldn't do that, you wouldn't break the dude's knee
because
then he can't fucking work, then you're not getting anything. You want to send a message, you cut off his friend's toe.
Ooh.
That's how you send a message. Damn. You talk to somebody else.
Fuck being friends with that guy. Jesus, if that happened, everyone's like not being his friend anymore.
But that's what happens everywhere. Let's say you owe the IRS money.
Yeah.
And they garnish your wages.
Yeah.
If you're working like for Carnival Cruise Line.
Yeah.
They don't want to deal with that.
Why?
So I don't want to deal with garnished wages and you're arguing with this guy. I just want to fucking hire someone who can do the job and I can pay him.
Yeah.
So that's how it affects you negatively. Like when someone wants too much grease, or someone wants to like prove a point. It's like, no, you complicate the person's life. No one wants to fuck with that person anymore.
Yeah.
Then that person's no use to you. You just kill the guy. You know what I mean? Or like, or stop your relationship or whatever. Like, you're putting him out of business. If that's what you want to do, put him out of business.
See, most movies need to have those realistic, because
they don't have it. I was watching Tulsa King and I was like, that's not real. That's not real. You can't do that.
Then, you know what? Yeah, a lot of these shows do get lazy where they keep following the same old Hollywood trope. Right.
Yeah.
Like this is like a small example, but like the Hollywood trope of like you're talking to someone on the phone, and then as soon as they hang up, the dial tone's there right away.
Yeah.
It's like that doesn't work.
Or no one says goodbye in Hollywood. Really? No one says like, all right, I'll talk to you later. No one says that. It's always just like end the conversation. Click.
Really?
I don't know. Isn't it?
Maybe. Well, my favorite was Al Pacino in Heat, because he didn't say goodbye. He was like talking on the phone. He's like, I need you to fucking do this, do that, and end that. And then hang up. But it was a good character trait because he was a cop. You know what I mean? It was like, he don't got time for formalities. Man, this whole greasing shit is crazy. And then like the brothel though, man. How hard was it to deal with all these hot chicks just turning tricks all around you?
Well, first of all, again, Noah's Ark. So there's two fat ladies, two old ladies, two white ladies, two Asian ladies, two black ladies, two ratchet whores, two meth chicks,
two hot girls,
two goth chicks, two hot blondes with fake titties, two tattooed girls.
So it's everything.
Two of everything.
That's hilarious.
Noah's Ark.
It's just two of everything. Even the clientele coming in twos.
Everything. Two of everything.
That's fucking hilarious, bro.
Noah's Ark.
I fucking love that.
Yeah.
The two of everything. Two big fat black girls. Two skinny girls, yep. Black girls with no butts.
Yep. And you'll find out day one, everyone has different tastes.
Who's everyone?
Everyone has different tastes.
I know that. So. Oh, yeah, you probably see it even like more so where you're just like, really? That's what you're going to pay for?
Yo. That, but to the point where it's like, you wouldn't date her. But that's what you really like. Like, you wouldn't want to be seen in public with that fat old lady. But I know that your search history is fat old ladies.
Wow.
Because they
it's two tiers.
Because they come in and they'd be like, and they would beeline. And it's like, why are you beelining for B. Arthur? Like, what the fuck are you, like, why are you picking her?
Thank you for being a friend. Do. Breaker fucking hip.
Yeah. I was wondering why there isn't a Beverly Hills parody, Elderly Gilfs.
That's fucking hilarious, bro. Oh my God.
Elderly Gilfs.
So, what did you learn about women?
I mean,
what has running a brothel taught you about women, Neil Rubenstein?
They're men too. They're just like men.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, we're all the same people. We're all the same.
Explain.
I don't know. They
have dicks?
They have some.
We're not playing that game.
I'm saying.
Fuck you. We're not playing that game.
All right.
You're right.
It's not up to me.
You're right.
It's not up to me.
Okay.
Your mom's religious.
Help me understand women, bro.
I wish.
You ran a brothel.
Yeah, that doesn't help anything.
Did you run the brothels on
Sunday?
When were we open? I think we were open just like Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Oh, only the weekends.
Yeah, I think we might have done like an
kind of like a comedy club, like
We might have done like an early week thing where it's like a finance district special or something, where it's like. Like, bring your finance bro and we'll give you whatever, like
half off the door,
or the drinks will be free.
Drink is free.
I mean, we might have done free drinks to begin with.
Damn, you were serving alcohol too? That's kind of dangerous. No liquor license, bro. I'm just saying because you already talking about like when you went away from the poker, that's when all of a sudden it showed you this other safer thing that you won't get like,
which is another rated, thing.
I would think that the fucking liquor license thing would really bring the heat.
We're not a bar. It's like you come in, you want to have a drink, have a drink.
Okay.
And it's just like some cute girl that isn't a prostitute serving drinks.
Oh, man. I can't fuck with prostitutes, bro. I can't. It's not that I've not tried, right? It's just like I think the few times that I've tried it always sucked because, you know, I had to realize, I'm like, dude, I'm not wired that way. When I have to pay for the sex, I can't even fucking have, sometimes I can't even enjoy it. It feels so transactional. I'm wired in a way where it's like the hunt is what turns me on. Like if I pick up a girl and she really wants to be with me because of just then I'm into it, bro.
No,
I think that's healthy, obviously.
Yeah, obviously, but I like that. I prefer
that, but I mean, sometimes I can't even like even enjoy it, bro.
I just think it's a different thing.
It is a definitely different thing. It's a different,
like, someone's want iced coffee, someone's want coffee.
I think it's more different than that. It is a different thing, right? It is a different thing.
Sometimes I want free coffee,
yeah,
that wants me to,
yeah,
and sometimes I want conscious pay for coffee ice, sometimes I want to pay for iced coffee,
yeah,
just so when I'm done I can just throw out the cup.
Yeah. That's a good analogy, bro. That's fucking awesome. I love that. I don't know, man. It's just like any other time I have tried it, man, like a couple of times I couldn't even get it up.
Can I tell you that I am more attracted if I find out a girl is a sex worker?
Yeah.
And she's interested in me for free?
Yeah.
That is the sexiest to me.
That is the same, because you already know what she's what
like,
see, to me, she looks kind of used up, but I can see how how you would like that.
I can't say this next thing.
I've had strippers, and then one time in Phoenix, a girl who was a call girl who picked me up and she wanted to hang out with me, you know, and she didn't charge me or anything. I already knew she was a working girl, but she beelined to me and was just like, yo, what's cracking?
Yeah. I have a friend that I'm gonna see this weekend. She's a sex worker. She does videos, cam girl. We met at a show. I didn't know she was that at the time. And it wouldn't, I mean, honestly, it wouldn't have affected anything. But like getting out of business with her.
Getting like out of business?
Getting into, like getting like down to the thing.
Yeah.
Is like so fun because she's like so open to all these things.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
That's like a definite plus for sure.
And she's a sweetheart. But could you wife that girl? Yeah, I don't think I... Exactly. Yeah, why not?
Are you sure?
I mean, I don't...
Don't you think that if you fell in love with her, you start having a problem with her sex work?
I'm not like that.
That's great.
Yeah.
I wish sometimes I was more liberal in the way I looked at stuff.
Like sometimes,
you know?
I like watching...
Her getting banged by another guy? Really?
Well, I've seen that, and I'm great. Yeah, that's great.
With the girl that you were dating?
With the girl I was... So I've never experienced that.
With the girl that you were in love with?
That girl I was in love with.
But you've done it with girls that you were hooking up with?
I have had girls send me videos of them with other boyfriends.
And you like that?
And I like that, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I hate that.
Yeah.
That's the thing, man. We all have different tastes, right? Yeah. Like, to me, here's the thing, okay? I'm straight.
Yeah.
I'm so straight.
Okay.
I'm almost too straight, right?
Okay.
Like back in the 80s when you were straight, you were like, fuck yeah, bro. You're a man and you only fuck women. Fuck yeah. You're a real man. And honestly, now that I'm older and mature, I'm like, I'm handicapped. Bro, you know how much easier it would be if I was also into dudes? Because dating women is hard, bro. And it's fucking like, you know, there's a lot of headaches that go with it. Like how great. I wish I was pansexual. I wish I was attracted to trans people. I wish I was attracted to all kinds of shit. I'm very open sexually, but like there's certain things where I'm like, dude, I can't have a naked dude in the room with me while I'm fucking another girl or watching another guy fuck a girl or fuck a girl that was like I'm dating or whatever. I couldn't even do that.
Yeah, I got no problem with that.
No problem. So like
I, in any of the things.
Yeah.
I love androgyny. I love a trans woman.
Oh, really?
I love it.
Have you ever hooked up with a trans woman?
No. They don't like me.
Oh, no.
Dude, especially this one woman. Oh, my God. But whatever. Off the topic.
So you're into that?
I love it.
That's great.
Oh, I love it.
I wish I was into it, to be honest.
But, yeah, I love it.
Because to me, like, if you're attracted to all more things, there's more options, man.
Yeah.
Just more options.
And in both ways,
it's stuck to just women.
Like, if someone wants to watch me do it.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, that's cool if that's your thing.
Oh, wow.
All right. And
the only way I can have, this is how straight I am. The only type of group sex I have is more than one girl. That's it. So if I'm hooking up with a girl and there's another girl in the room, great.
Like,
if I'm hooking up with a girl and there's another dude in the room, I'll get the fuck out of here, bro.
I don't find you sexually attractive.
But I'm sexy, bro.
But I know you're a handsome dude. You're in great shape.
Yeah.
If there was a hot girl getting fucked by you, yeah, I'd sit right here and...
Even being friends?
Yeah, I got a problem with that.
You'd be like...
I'd root you on.
That's be even.
Yeah, you should get in there.
Yeah, that's when my dick stops working. Right
no,
there.
No, that's great.
You're
why not?
Fucking fat.
I mean, I don't need to
rabbi face.
I don't need to participate. Sure, I'd love to be on the other end of the girl. Why not? I don't find you attractive.
Yeah.
Or that's not the. I don't find you sexually stimulating.
Sure.
But I know, like, you're good physique. Like,
yeah.
I would watch this guy fuck a girl on a video, even if I didn't know you.
Wow, that's right? Weird to me.
But what's the porn you watch?
I know, but here, so
you watch dudes in porn.
Yeah, I know, but people that you know is kind of weird.
No, it's like go team.
Because I have like videos of girls that, like, you know, like I've dated girls that were like, hey, let's film this. So I have video, right, of those escapades, right, and some of them are fucking great. And but the thing is that, like, I got friends of mine going, show me, and I'm just like, I have a hard time. Not only that, none of these girls want me to show them anyway.
Right,
right.
That's
so to me. Wait,
that's disrespectful to the women.
To me, already
they didn't give consent.
To me, but already they let me. And that's private.
Yeah,
I'm never going to show that to anybody.
100%.
But then on top of it, it's even more safe for them to know because I don't want anyone watching me. Fuck, I think it's weird, bro. This is weird.
I maybe it goes back to like the rock and roll stuff in my life where like. You're just on tour and it's just like
you was in a rock band?
Well, I toured with rock bands for a while before I got into poker.
So you saw a lot of crazy shit.
At
a very young age.
At the right age.
What's the right age?
The late teens, early 20s.
Yeah.
Right. So craziness.
Wow.
And so it was like my first professional tour was with a band opening for Cold Chamber and Seven Dust.
Okay.
So it was like
I don't know what that is.
Very debaucherous, like Ozfest kind of bands, where it's just like snorting lines of anything off of anyone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Good times.
Crazy.
Fuck yeah. Did you have a good time?
Awesome time.
Yeah. Damn, that's fucking awesome.
And I mean, it's still what I love tour is just like the meeting people and the going places.
Sure.
Love it.
Yeah.
And I'm just wired differently when it comes to debauchery. It's just like, I'm not scared of it. Or it's not taboo to me, which is, I think, why
Jason Bacon says Cold Chamber and Seven Dust are amazing. And he also says, make this guy a regular.
Oh, that's nice. Thanks, man. Follow me on things.
Follow Neil Rubenstein, guys. Neil Rubenstein, Rubenstein, Stein,
Rubenstein.
Not Stain, like Bear Stain Bears. But Neil Rubenstein is one of the funniest guys I know, man.
Thanks, man.
Dude. Like we competed against each other at the World Series of Comedy. That's when I met you first, and we both had moments.
We jockeyed back and forth.
We would both have moments where it was like I would come off, he would come off the stage, and I would have to go after him, and he would come on, and he would crush so hard where I would just be like, "Fuck, bro!" And then I would lose, and then we would have. The opposite, where you would have to go after me, and then or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, like so, and it was weird too, because like it would be some days like you would go first, and then I would do better because I'm riding your wave,
uh-huh.
Or you would go first, and then I would do worse because your energy was too high.
Yeah, and because and your then energy's vice
versa,
low, right.
And then vice versa, like I would fucking just have one of those shows, and you couldn't follow it, or I'd have one of those shows, and you just rode that wave.
The
and
one thing like, the competitions really taught me was seeing all these comedians play all the time, often, and then you start to see when we kill and when we don't kill, and then you start to learn. What it is that makes you kill, and a lot of it is being so in the moment and not caring about the outcome, man.
Dude, That is...
That's everything. And then, but hold on. If you're really connecting with the audience, they give you so much energy. Yeah. It changes your body language. The way you tell the joke is funnier because your body moves differently. It's a different thing, right?
There's so much psychology. There's so much psychology to everything. And then ultimately it comes down to what you just said. It's just... And I was talking to some newer comics the other day, and I said this, and this is like my mantra. Just take the mic out of the stand, put the stand behind me, tell jokes.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all I'm thinking about. There's nothing else.
Yeah.
I just want to take the mic out of the stand, put the stand behind me, and tell some fucking jokes.
Yeah.
And that's really it. It's just
but it's a little bit more than that.
It's so much more than that. It's like that, like emptiness. It's just like empty your.
Sometimes you can just tell the jokes.
Empty your consciousness.
Sure, you got it. You got it. You got to. You got to like, man. You got to feel good.
Oh, you got to feel good.
You got to feel good about what you're about to do, right?
It's the only time I feel good.
And you have to feel good about connecting with the audience. Sometimes I will have a bad set, and then when I look at the video, I'm like, I didn't connect with the audience. And my energy just wasn't right, or I was just telling jokes and not being in the moment. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. Do you ever feel this? I've felt this recently where I was like, it wasn't working for some reason. And I was like, in my head, I was like, I think I said it to the audience in some form or another where I was like, I know that I'm funny. I know that I know how to do this job because I've been doing this job and they hired me to do this job today. I don't know that you're a good audience. So I'm not taking the blame for this. You guys got to fucking step it up.
Yeah.
Like, why are your arms crossed? Like, why are you in a bad mood? What did I say to you to offend you?
That's funny. Yes, that's funny.
Like, you guys got to fucking come together. Yeah.
I'm hired here. They know I'm funny.
Yeah, we're like, we got to all be on the same team.
It's on you guys to be a good audience. Yeah,
this is going to be a long night.
Bro, that's great, bro. Yeah, man. It's just to me, like, it's amazing. Like, the more of these competitions I do, when I see comics, I did the Seattle Comedy Competition. I did not win, but I did make it to the finals. But I got to
see. Was that this year?
Yeah. And then I got to see all these.
With Wyatt?
Wyatt wasn't on it this year. He did it 1 year.
Last year.
He probably did it last year. So it was funny, man, how to see some of us crush and then the next day watching us bomb. And then watching us the next day have a good set, and then watching the same person crush again, and then watch him bomb the next day. And it's just like, yo, dude, it's like, that's when you start to realize, bro, a set is a set.
Yeah.
That's why I couldn't understand. I had a friend of mine who was like, hey, do you like Tim Dillon? And I was like, yeah, I do like Tim Dillon. I think he's funny. He's like, he's not funny. And I'm like, what do you mean he's not funny? He's like, I saw a special. It was trash. I go, wait a second. I go, hold on a second. And then I told this person, now this person's in comedy. And I told this person, I was like, yeah, but I saw him live and he crushed. And then his argument was like, yeah, you saw him live, but I judged a stand-up comedy from the fucking the taping that they fucking. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Sometimes it's just first one of night. And that night might suck and there may not be, the energy might be off. Who knows?
100%. And first of all, fuck the fuck off with that attitude. Yo, you like this? I think it's stupid. What the fuck? I didn't ask your fucking opinion.
Well, no. I mean, we're in comedy, so it was kind of like we're talking about things that we like and things we don't like, you know? And he was
man. But then keep your thumb out of my pudding.
But hold on. You know what I mean? But my point is that I think the biggest egregiousness is the fact that he's going to say, yo, it's because
I'm judging this one recording. Yeah. And it's like everyone has a fucking bad day, A. And B, some people just aren't special people.
Exactly.
Like, Tim Dillon's a really good example of, like, I've never seen him not murder.
Right.
And I mean, I came up with him on Long Island. Right. Like, I see him all the time. New York and Creek in the Cave in the City. Like, he's a stone cold murderer.
Yeah.
From OG days.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so he doesn't translate to specials, really, because it's... Or, too much crowd work
or he's just doing that one special that just didn't really work.
And maybe he didn't give a fuck about that special because he makes $40 billion a week on Patreon.
Or maybe he did and he cared too much and he fucked it up.
Or maybe that.
You know what I mean? There's so many things that can happen.
And Dan Soder's a good example of that too, I think. Dan Soder in the room, oh my God, one of the fucking funniest people to watch.
And his clips are good too, though.
His clips are good, but his special, I felt, was a little...
I have to watch it. I haven't seen that yet.
Lackluster. But again, like, not to his detriment. Like, he's just maybe not.
You know whose latest special I fucking loved? And I also loved his first one on Netflix, his first Netflix special, Neil Brennan.
Blocks was really good.
Did you watch Blocks?
Blocks was really good.
Bro, if anybody hasn't seen it on Netflix, Neil Brennan, and if you don't know who Neil Brennan is, he is one of the creators of The Chappelle Show. Mm-hmm. He's the white guy that...
He wrote Half-Baked.
That he wrote Half-Baked with Chappelle too. If you remember the KKK sketch, he's the white guy's head who blows up and explodes when he realizes that the KKK guy's black.
He wrote Ellen DeGeneres' last special.
He wrote the whole special?
Not the whole thing, but
he helped.
He wrote on it.
Yeah, yeah. That's what Chris Rock has writers that help him with his specials and stuff.
I got no beef with that.
I know. Everybody's got a different... Like, listen, bro. We all have different approaches.
And how much would I love to write for those people? You know what I mean?
Me too.
I would love that gig.
Me too.
I love
that gig. That would be amazing.
And then you get to open for them.
Hopefully, right? What was the thought process that I was on before we went to the Chris Rock? We were talking about
we were just saying Neil Brennan's got a great special.
Neil Brennan special, Blocks, really really good. And then the one before that, Three Microphones.
Yeah,
he has. So that's what I'm talking about. Neil Brennan makes specials
unique.
Special.
Yeah,
he makes them special.
Can I tell
bro.
You, man?
He puts a lot of work into it, and I appreciate it.
Yo, can I tell you? Smaller scale, all the thing. You know Sam Ike from Boston. Black kid from Boston.
Maybe if I seen a picture of him.
Yo, he just did a Don't Tell, like one of the 7-8 minute Don't Tell specials.
Yeah.
Yo, he starts talking before he gets to the stage. He's talking to the audience in the back of the room.
Okay.
And they're filming him just walk to. He never gets to the microphone. It's so unique and so clever. He just starts like it's the most personal.
He has a microphone with him?
He is alive.
Sure.
So he never gets he ends up with the mic at the very end. He plays something over his phone. But it's 8 minutes of him just meandering to the stage, gets to the stage, puts his drink down, like just chilling, talking to the audience. Like, dude, so clever, man.
And funny.
Dude, oh, brilliant funny. Like, the first bit is about Hawaii is the most racist place in America, and that he's all for it, and like you know, a thing that he saw there. And then he talks about 8 Mile, how it's like it's a movie about perseverance and overcoming racism.
That's a good segue.
And then there's the final bit is like he went to see like a black movie in a black movie theater, and he's like the lady was like being extra special about it, and like the audience screaming at each other, like people getting into a fight in the audience. And then he like plays footage of it.
Oh, no shit.
And like, so he like says what happens, gets the laughs. And then he's like, just in case you didn't believe me, plays like a quick highlight. And is like, I have 6 minutes of that unedited. If anyone wants to Instagram me, I'll send you the footage.
That's funny.
And it's just so, dude, it's so clever. It's so funny.
And different.
And so unique. And so unique. And it's like, oh, that's like, I don't want to see a lot of that shit because I think a lot of it's going to be bad.
Yeah.
But that particular one from that person at that moment was like, that's a cool move.
Yeah.
That's a real cool move.
And I think that's a very important thing to do when we're doing our specials, man, because right now people are cranking out specials that are not that special.
Yeah. I want to do something personal. I want to do something that represents me.
I want to feel like you put work into it. You watch Neil Brennan, his shit is tight.
Tight.
So tight. And he does it in such a loose way. And then he has this, like, the ending was just so, like...
He buys
good, man.
He buys so much equity. He's so smart and funny.
Yeah.
That you're willing to give him 5 minutes of no jokes.
Yeah.
Like, we'll just sit there and look. Like, he almost cries at one point.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, yeah. What do you mean, Neil?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, by the way, I'm going to do comedy.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, well, we got back to comedy.
It was great. It hit all the highs and lows of emotions, man. And I thought it was brilliant.
And
bro.
I most identified with how he's just like, I can't even just do comedy normal. Like, I have to do this bullshit. Three microphones. What is it, depressed?
You know what I mean? Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I can't. Like, because that's how I ended up running a fucking brothel, is because I couldn't just play poker. I had to be the dealer. I had to know all the rules. I had to know all the players.
Sure.
It's like, I can't just do comedy. I have to be like, I have to quit my job and spend
his political jokes about being liberal and, yeah. And how weird it is to be liberal now. He had that one joke where he goes, this is what it's like to be liberal. I'm paraphrasing, but it's kind of like this. He goes, you'll meet other people who are liberal and then you'll tell them I'm liberal and they'll go, we'll see about that.
Yeah.
And I was like, that was brilliant. Yeah. Well, that's brilliant. That's it's like you can't be liberal enough. You know what I mean?
That's how I feel about.
Oh, you're liberal? We'll see about that.
But that's how I feel on the other side too. Like you've seen my joke where I'm just like Trump supporters ruined hating Joe Biden. Because F that. Joe Biden, and they're like, yeah, F Joe Biden. I'm like, yeah, but not like that. Like you make it feel creepy. I don't know. Like I just like it's gross when you say it. Like I just want to don't like him for these reasons.
For some good reasons.
Yeah, for like policy and stuff.
For actual reasons.
And like that he lied to us.
And that he was racist in the past.
Like I also hate your guy for the same reason.
Same shit.
Same reasons.
Yeah.
You don't like him because he wears a blue tie, not a red tie. That's weird.
You don't like Biden because he doesn't have an orange face. How dare you?
Yeah, like that's weird.
Bro, all I know is before we let go, because we've been at this for almost 2 hours, bro. I have a lot of viewers. I mean, not a lot, but I mean, like for usually it's anywhere from like 3 to 10. Today we had up to 7 people like watching it live. We get more listeners than actually watching. Watching it live is like you don't get that many people come in to watch live. But it's
so this
growing.
Lives on YouTube. I can send people the link.
You can, yeah. And then also I'm probably gonna clip this up. I've been doing a lot of like clipping up and stuff. So
let me know because I'll do those like shared whatever with you.
Here's somebody just asked a question. Is there a comedian that either of you think is going to blow up soon? Is there a comedian that either of you think is going to blow up soon? Thank you, Hanger 18 Shirts.
Well, I mean, there's a lot, but like at what level? You know what I mean? Because like...
Who's somebody that you're like...
Like there's a He Doogee who like he opens for Whitney Cummings and he's like popping right now. But I don't know that he's going to have a special soon or something. But then there's other people
he
like...
Doogee?
Zahid. Doogee,
okay.
Or like Tony Casillas is like that. Mike Eaton's like that. They're like about to pop.
Yeah.
But like they're about to pop at a different level. Like are you talking about like Ian Lara, who like now has an HBO special and now has all these things? Yeah. And it's like him, it's like, well, now he's going to be a household name. You know, he's going to be like a Nate Bargatze. Like... Zahid might not be a Nate Bargatze, but
It's really hard to answer that question.
Yeah,
because
what level are you talking about?
It's but not only that, it's also like what a lot of blowing up in any business is not only just you being funny, especially in comedy. It's are you funny and you want to that? There are some people that are just such level of fucking funny, but they're not posting clips. They're not trying to get big fan base.
Mike Paramore.
He's hysterical.
He's the perfect example.
Trix. No. I'm talking about you're saying Mike Paramore being that funny who's not pushing it.
He's
in
not
that
pushing
way,
at all.
Which is weird.
He's
a killer.
Cruise ships and his local things and some clean stuff.
Trix. I think Trix is one. Trix is a really good friend of mine. You probably heard his podcast if you listen to the podcast. TRIXX. I don't know, man. Because he beat us at the World Series of Comedy 2018, I think it was. And he's just a murderer. He is so funny. And he's just really good. And he's trying. He's already getting up to like 250,000 or more followers on Instagram. His following online is huge. He's booked all the time. He's trying to make, you know, shit happen. I think he might be the next one. I think Trix is the next guy.
I'll say two ladies, Casey Shronima.
I don't know who that is.
So she's a Nashville girl, moved to Austin, then got JFL, now writes for SNL.
Oh, wow.
And she wrote for Colbert, I think, for a second. Like, she, like, it happened quick for her. And she's she might be Bangladeshi. She might be Indian.
Funny.
Super funny.
That's awesome.
Casey Shronima, K.C. Shronima. And then another girl I would say is Katie Hughes, who's an Atlanta comedian. And on Instagram, she's Katie Bruise, which I think is funny. But she's a beast, and she's like about to pop. And I think like that scene is kind of about to pop a little too.
Casey, how you spell her last name?
Shronima, Shornima, maybe.
I don't know if I know her.
She's brilliant. And like, this was her year. Like, she had a good year.
That's great.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to follow her. Good stuff.
Gavin Max, I think, is brilliant.
Gavin Max is another one. Yes.
Ian Lara, of course. That Phil Hanley special was...
I didn't watch it.
Oh, my God, dude. One of the best of the year.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Phil Hanley, like, really...
I keep hearing good things.
Yeah, the needle moved, in my opinion, this year for him, for sure. Uh-huh. Like, watching this newest special, I was like, oh, Phil's one of them.
So what's your next move in comedy, bro?
I got to film something.
You got to film a special?
Got to film something.
And then where are you going to put it up on?
Whoever wants to do it. I gotta do something.
You're going to film it yourself?
I don't know. I mean, right now,
you can go to YouTube,
some
bro.
Interest from some people.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what the move is. I'm in that position where I used to have mentors. And now I'm kind of like in this place where it's like.
You're past the mentors.
I'm not past them. No, of course not. But we all want different things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So like I could used to ask Liz Mealy, for instance, like, what do I do next? What's the next step? But her next steps
are different than your next steps.
Are different than what I, yeah. What my next steps. Yeah.
She's ahead of you.
She's ahead of me, but she went in a different direction.
Sure.
She, like, you know what I mean? Like she took a left.
Yeah.
At.
Right.
We walk in and I'm trying to.
I know what you mean. Because yeah. There's so many different major routes to take.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
like
yeah.
In comedy, to get to where we want to get, there's different highways.
Yeah.
So then once you start getting on the highway, which highway are you taking?
Yeah.
You
know? Like I work with Ben Bailey a lot now.
Right.
And I can't ask him. I can't ask him what I should do next because what he did to get where he was, I mean, that was the 90s or the early 2000s. You know what I mean? Like it was a whole different world. Like
I think the key is to find somebody that's in your wheelhouse now.
But who?
So what I've been doing is now that I've got that following that's blowing up on Facebook and Instagram. Thank you for everyone following me. Now I'm starting to look to all the other comics who are getting the same type of following, and then they're renting out rooms and then selling out those rooms themselves.
Yeah, like the Andrew Rivers model, the Steve Hofstetter model. Yeah.
Steve. That thing. So then, like, but the ones that are doing it right now, but, right?
So
then I'm reaching out to them, right. And we're borrowing information how to like do.
Are you
this.
Friends Andrew?
Andrew
Rivers?
I don't know if I am or not.
I'll introduce you guys.
Okay.
He does that.
Yeah.
But he's a Hofstetter student.
Oh, really? I'm going to have to reach out to
Brett Druck and Andrew Rivers.
Yes, I would love to pick his brain,
bro. You know
Luke?
Severed?
Yes.
So he works with Andrew a lot. He does a lot of Andrew's shows.
Okay.
So, I'll hook you guys up for sure. But, like, but for me, like, who else is opening for bands? You know what I mean? Like, who else is doing, like, rock festivals? And
you mean comedians?
Yeah, and opening for rock bands, and then also opening for comics. And all, you know what I mean? Like, there's no one really in my lane. So it's like,
I honestly
I don't know.
Neil, I think you just need to keep doing that clips thing and building your audience, bro.
Yeah,
I think take the video quality and the audio quality up to another level.
Yeah.
I could show you how to do that, and it'll be very easy.
Yeah,
I have like an easy way to do it.
Well, you showed me the 4K thing.
I showed you the 4K thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Now you just need to get a wireless system that has two microphones.
So my buddy got me a Rode for the phone.
Rode Wireless Go 2?
Yeah.
The 2?
I don't know.
Does it come with two microphones?
Tiny.
It's like a little box.
Yeah.
Two microphones.
Maybe.
You don't even know what the fuck you got?
I don't know.
How many boxes? Three? Fuck, bro. I'll show you how to use that,
okay.
because I have the one that comes with two microphones. There's a setup that's more complicated that I use when I do weekends, but my run and gun, and it works for anything, is just have one of the microphones under your shirt on a fucking
lav, yeah.
Not a lav. Oh. I get like a chest strap. Right?
Okay.
And then that thing has a clip. You just put it on your shirt, you clip it, and the microphone's already on your voice. Then you take the other microphone
audience
and you clip it on the curtain. Way high up, or if there's no curtain, try to place it someplace else that's kind of facing the audience. Or if that doesn't work either, the last minute thing to do is, you know, the mic stand, you take the microphone off, and you know how it's got that little half moon thing?
Mm-hmm.
You clip the microphone there, you tilt it towards the audience a little bit, and then you move it to the front of the stage.
Oh.
Yeah. I know.
I hate that. I hate having the. I hate the aesthetic of the mic stand.
Sure, and listen, I get that, but sometimes I only do that for like drop in shows where it's going to be so quick, like it's like.
But I could put it So I do, like, I have my time on my phone. I could probably put it on my phone here, right? And, like, aim it on the stool.
That can also happen, too. But the good thing with the wireless system is that both of those feeds get sent to the phone and gets burnt into the video, so you don't have to deal with it syncing it later. It's already burnt into the video. You can have it set to be where one microphone's left channel, one microphone's right, and then when you drop it in the editing, you duplicate the audio, make one only left, one only right, and then the one that's the crowd, you dip it down when you're talking, and then bring it up when they're laughing, and then dip it down when you're talking, and then and now it's all in there. You don't have to sync up anything. It's just quick, quick, quick. Yeah, bro. I got a lot to teach you. I'm thinking about making a video and then sharing it to all the comedians to give an idea of like what it is that I'm doing, because I think everyone just needs to get better audio. Let's get Korean barbecue.
Let's go.
Yeah, bro. Fucking Neil Rubenstein in LA. No fucking sun, but the sun will come in the form of Korean barbecue, baby.
You guys go like this. You do this.
Oh, that's going to get a shot, bro. Don't do that.
Sorry.
Especially your hands all tatted up and shit. All right, any last bit of advice for anybody over music?
Oh, just be cool. Be cool. That's the you know? We got Sky.
Shout out to cats everywhere.
Shout out to Blue, my cat at home.
Oh, your cat's called Blue? Is your cat Blue too? Hey, buddy. Say hi, Sky. Sky, you want to eat?
I don't think Sky knows what that is.
She's like, the thing that I like about her, she's got the same face I do. Like, we both got a mad face for no reason. She's not mad. She's loving life, but her face is like, fuck you. All right. We are going to get the hell out of here, guys. Thank you very much for watching. All the people that are watching, especially new people, follow me, MikeFromDetroit.com. I'm Mike from Detroit on everything. Instagram, TikTok, fucking Pornhub, Mike from Detroit. You go to MikeFromDetroit.com. You can find all my social media links at the top. Join my mailing list so you can get alerts when I do shows. This weekend, I'm going to be in Seattle, 6th and 7th at Club Comedy. February 5th, I'm in San Diego at the Mic Drop. I just booked Detroit House of Comedy. I'm headlining that June 9th and 10th. And Baltimore. I'm coming to Baltimore in March. I think March 5th, 4th. Just it's all on my website, guys. I'm doing a tour, and I would love to see you guys there. Neil, you have any shows to plug?
I don't know if is my QR code gonna work on here like this. If it's
what the fuck is that? Where does the QR code take you to?
NeilRubenstein.com.
Just tell them that.
NEIL.
What the fuck are you doing?
RUBENSTEIN.com. I'm sure it'll be in the link of the description.
I saw your website. It's a very good website.
Yeah, well, thank
you. No, it's good. It's good. Solid.
Yeah.
Follow my man Neil.
Yeah.
You can find him on Facebook. He's posting videos all the time.
I am always on the road. Always.
He's on the road a lot.
Wherever you are, I will eventually get there. So
yes. So follow him. Yep. He's a funny motherfucker. Thank watching you. His shows is always a pleasure. And then on top of it, everyone loves him. You sign the podcast. Even criminals don't want to shoot him. He's the best.
I just want to be cool. Everyone want to be cool.
You want to be cool with everyone, bro?
Cool, man.
Yeah.
We got no beef. We got beef.
All right, guys. Until next time, thank you very much. Peace out.
Public Yemeni number one.